all the roofers. And Lee Michael Israel, Elder Kabir, and Coach DJ, and Pastor, all them, they see you come back.
About us is that
they continue to levy charges. And before I go any further, let me say this. Jason Whitlock has done an outstanding job in his journalism on this particular broadcast. He has definitely remained unbiased. He let people talk, get out their opinions, and he asked the tough, hard questions in order to stimulate thought with the audience out there. And it needs to be. He brings a fair and balanced approach, and that's what we need. And he lets all voices be heard because he actually truly is one of the few advocates of freedom of speech. Most people say that they're advocates of freedom of speech, but we're going to find out how much advocates that people are of freedom of speech, because myself and Pastor Muir has actually challenged Pastor Anthony and Dave Shannon to an open debate on the subjects wherewith they say that we're either lacking or we don't know anything about hermeneutics concerning exegesis and exegesis and of course, our lifestyle, the way we were chosen to live, and of course, biblical marriage. Just to name a few. And so, because we're always loaded, ready for bear, we can go at any time, but I think it would probably be in their best interest if they actually get a little time to study so they can prepare. So it would be, we believe in being fair. Being a bit fair. But if you want to do it this next week, you want to do it within a week or two right now, we're ready. We're good to go. I've got to get this out right here. Listen, it's been said that, or the accusation is that we're out here hiding, which could be nothing farther from the truth. And I'm going to give you my sense. Can you imagine us having 101 acres, being an agricultural people, and we purchased 101 acres smack dab in the middle of Nashville? Are y'all listening to me?
Yeah.
Do you think, given all their codes and their housing agreements and everything, do you think for one time that they're going to allow us to raise livestock, cows, chickens, goats, sheep, have our own greenhouse up, put gardens up, run our heavy equipment, our tractors? And if we were living smack dab in the middle of the city, how are we going to feed ourselves? How can we get deer? Have y'all ever seen 50 deer in the middle of the city? How can we hunt deer, wild turkeys, and fish? I mean, owning 101 acres in the middle of Nashville is just not advantageous. It's just not intelligent whatsoever at all. Because first of all, we wouldn't pass not one city code in Nashville.
No.
And not only that, I'm sure that Nashville don't want our compost piles out there as well. And, we live out here where the heathen farmers are, and nobody says nothing about the farmers living way out here. I guess they don't represent the message or the gospel, if you understand what I mean. But our neighbors are actually farmers. Now, if we're calling ourselves Israelites, we know 100% that means also that we're an agricultural people. How many times have we read about Abraham and how many riches that he had based on the livestock that he had in his own hand? It has to be an understanding that's going on and going forward. So when we're obeying exactly what the word says, because it's strange to a lot of people who are steeped in a ideology and a theology, because what I see more than anything is I see people representing traditions of men and theologies, but not what the book says. Because if the book was really truly in you, I remember one time that Jason asked the pastor, what scripture is that? And he just gave the vague answer, just Genesis. But Genesis what? He really truly wants to know where it is, but that's not going to be like it was straightway. We're going to give you proof text. We're going to actually give you the actual scripture so you can see for your own self. Because the one thing that the religion of Christianity and a lot of people is banking on is that you will never, ever, ever open up that book. Because the day that you open up that book, the scales will start to fall off your eyes. Because the book says, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach himself to be sent? So we're going to go ahead and we're going to start, and we're going to give you a sole purpose and the reason why that what we're doing, and it ain't going to take too long. Teacher saying, get Acts chapter 2 and start at verse 41, and we're going to read in context all the way down to verse 47. Now, my question that I would like to ask everybody out there, was Jesus a Christian? I think it's a valid question. Because we can't read nowhere in the whole of the Bible or the Holy Scriptures where Jesus ever said that he was a Christian. Nor did he ever come and preach Christianity. Now, the only way that you're going to believe that is you've got to pick up the book and read it for yourself. Paul never called himself a Christian, but he was accused of being a Christian or a follower or a disciple of Messiah or a disciple of Christ. The book is not a Christian book, contrary to popular belief, because Christianity is the largest religion in the world. The book is a book about a nation,
yes, sir.
A holy nation,
yeah.
A royal priesthood. Yeah. It's about a people. Yah chose Israel,
yes.
Because they was least among all nations.
Yes, sir.
So he could show forth his power and his might,
yes,
amongst the people of the nation. So Acts chapter 2, starting verse 41, read, teacher.
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Mm-hmm.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles.
Let's stop for a second. That's another thing I noticed that wasn't addressed yesterday, or wasn't a day before yesterday, is the signs and the wonders. The signs and the wonders that actually Pastor Muir and them had testified about. You see, for those of you who don't know about us at Straightway, let me give you a short rundown real quick. We are actually a ministry by the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We cast out devils, literally. We preach deliverance, just like the book says. We actually are paramount in healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, and casting out devils. We have literally done all of that. But make no mistake about it. Just open up that back door and cut that off. It wasn't us that actually done the actual work. It was the Most High Yah, the Messiah himself. He is the one, because the book says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so there are a lot of people out there that are sitting up in churches sick. There are a lot of people sitting up in churches on prescription drugs. Let me tell you this. That I know of, still till today, up here in this particular area, there's not one person in the Straightway Truth Ministry that is on any prescription drugs.
No.
And we range from the ages, I believe, of 88 all the way down to a few years old. 88 years old to a few weeks old. So we've got to be doing something. Because the book says, Yahweh says that I am Yahweh your Elohim that healeth you. That's what he says clearly. He says that if you would diligently hearken unto my voice, keep my commandments and do that which is right in my sight, I will lay none of these diseases upon you as I have laid upon the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh your Elohim that healeth you. And he is our healer. Jesus is our healer. And we actually live that message right there.
Yes,
actually live it. So when you see as many signs and wonders were done by the apostles, those same signs and those same wonders accompany us. They follow us here at Straightway. And that's another reason why so many people all across the world in the United States of America are literally drawn to us. They're drawn to us because of the power of Yah, the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus Christ. So Mark 16 clearly says that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. We do that. We cast out devils, and we speak with new tongues, according to the concrete evidence in Acts chapter 2, that on the day of Pentecost, we know what happened. They all got filled with the Holy Spirit, or the Ruach HaKadosh, and they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with tongues and prophesy as the Spirit of Yah gave utterance. Now, go ahead and read on, teach.
And all that believe
were what?
Were together.
Now, what we do, because we are so concrete in our belief, we don't practice abstract thought. We are Israelites. Our people are concrete. When it says, and all that believe, that wasn't a mental assent. Because you can say all day long that you are believers. But if you are hearers of the word and not doers, then you're not believers. Period, point blank.
Yes,
period, point blank. But the book says, and all that believe work together. Now, some people, like Pastor Anthony and Dave Shannon, they want to say that that was for that time. That wasn't for this time. And I beg to differ. Because the apostles actually got the blueprint of the way that the assembly, that they will call the church, the way that it should run.
Yes.
Not only then, but in this day, time, and hour up until this point right now. And so the book says, and all that believe were together. So if you really, truly believe, you would be together. And read on what else it had to say.
And had all things.
Some things.
All things.
A few things.
All things.
So if you really truly believe, according to the word of the apostles, you would have all things common. And read on.
And so their possessions.
Now, I can rest assure you that many people that like to follow the Acts model of the assembly and stuff, they have never done this before. I've done this. And been doing this, and many other Israelites have done this, so we can comprehend what it actually really truly means to go through this. And they sold their possessions, read on.
And good.
And what?
And parted them to all men.
Come out.
And every man, as every man had need.
Read on.
And they, continuing daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house.
And breaking bread from what?
House to house.
So we have the temple. We have the assembly sitting right up here at the top of the hill. We can fellowship daily. And not only that, we literally can break bread from house to house because all that is surrounded, all we are surrounded by on this 101 acres and many other communities throughout the ministry is nothing but Israelites. Our next door neighbors are not heathens. Our next door neighbors are not pagans. Our next door neighbors are Israelites, born again of the water and of the spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus. Read on.
Did eat their meat with gladness.
And what?
And singleness of heart.
Come on.
Praising Yah.
Uh-huh.
And having favor with all the people.
Y'all hear that?
Yes, sir.
Read on.
And the master added to the assembly.
When?
Daily.
He added to the assembly what?
Daily.
Daily what?
Such as should be saved.
So I recently, since we've been accused a lot that we don't evangelize, at least that's the charge that's been levied against us, I just recently received two emails that just come in today. Today is the 9th, right? Yep. December the 9th. And it says, I can't even pronounce his name because it looks like a Nigerian name, but it says, good afternoon, sir. I pray this message reaches you in grace. My name is Orekenia, O-R-E-K-H-E-N-I. I was born in Nigeria, and I currently live in New York City. I am interested in visiting Straightway Ministries to worship on the Sabbath service and also learn more about Homestead Community. I am inspired by your leadership and your mentality. It breaks my heart to see how secular the church is today and how the church is following the world. I truly yearn to fellowship and build with like-minded people that are peculiar. Please advise on the steps that I can take to attend service. Best regards, that brother. The next letter says, hi, team. My name is and I am located in Houston, Texas. I am somewhat new to the truth and was wondering, do y'all have an assembly, any assemblies in Houston, Texas? If not, what online resources and studies do you have for young men who are looking to connect in community and walk hand in hand and with like-minded brothers? I hope this finds you as well. Shalom. I look forward to hearing your response. And they leave their number. So, it looks like we're not doing too bad on evangelism as well. I mean, after all, you know, the book tells us that over in 1620, at the end of Mark 16, it says, and they went forth and they preached everywhere.
Yes.
And it says that the Messiah working with them with signs following. So I guess my first thing that I would like to ask, if you're a real true disciple of Messiah, when was the last time you did a miracle? When was the last time you cast out devils? When was the last time you actually had the signs that prove your brotherhood in the faith, that prove that you're born again when the Spirit of Yah is willing in you? When was the last time you done it? I didn't say when was the last time somebody else done it. I said when was the last time you done it?
Yeah.
You see, these are questions that really, truly need to be answered.
Yes.
Now, what's mostly in the cities today who are unbelievers and people who don't keep the commandments? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. And Pastor Mir, when we bring you up, I think the first thing we want to address when we bring you up is I guess we want to get you to see what you have to say concerning some of their responses on certain timestamps. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, read on down through verse 18, read. Now, mind you, this is renewed covenant, right? Come on.
Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Can I ask the question, where's the unbelievers at? They're mostly in population centers, aren't they? Now, they are getting mixed up on this evangelism thing because the apostles went everywhere.
Yes, sir.
And then in the early church or the first century, they went everywhere. They preached this message.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that they're not understanding today is timeline.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in a timeline that where we're supposed to actually make the mission is going out and evangelizing.
Mm-hmm.
Nor has he ever reneged that we should ever stop doing it as means it because we're still doing it. But we are in the time of getting ready for great tribulation.
Yes. Mm.
Come on. And you have to know the time and the season.
Come on, sir.
How is it that you can sometimes can understand that when the sky is red and it's lowering, but you can't even discern the signs and the times of the season? See, misapplication and misappropriation of the scriptures will get you in some deep trouble if you don't know who you are, because I'm telling you, miss the call if you want to. Like the five foolish virgins did. Miss the call if you want to, and don't be in your proper place, and don't have your lamp filled with oil, and see what happens. See what happens. But come on, teacher, read on.
What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness?
So we're righteous, and the book says, this is Paul saying, what fellowship do we have with righteousness with unrighteousness? I mean, this is what the book says. And unlike our counterparts, they didn't want to quote any scripture. They want you to believe them for what they said based on their feelings, how I feel and what I think and what I believe. I want to tell you what I believe. I believe what's written in the book. I believe what the book says. And everybody in the ministry of Straightway Truth are well-versed in the scripture, because man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of Yahweh. That's what the book says. So that's why when I go on these interviews and stuff, I don't have to have notes or be prepared or anything like this. Because he says, don't you think about what you're going to say in that day or hour. Because I, the Holy Spirit, am going to give you what to say. Read on.
And what communion has light with darkness?
Y'all hearing that? So the Most High Yah himself, through the Apostle Paul, is teaching the assembly at Corinth, even in that time. He's actually challenging them. What fellowship have believers with unbelievers? And what communion have light with darkness? Read on.
And what concord has Christ with Belial?
Come on, y'all hearing all this?
Yes, sir.
I mean, from what I heard them, they want us to actually live out there where the heathen deals. That ain't what Jesus did. When Jesus, actually what he was doing, he was on the outside of the country. And he would send his disciples before him to go into the cities at different places to prepare the place for him. And then he would come in and preach the message. And then after he would preach the message, he would be right back out on the side of the mountain preaching the 5,000. And then feeding them with five loaves and two fishes.
Come on. Come on,
Seth. Y'all, I don't mean to want to get started.
Hey,
man.
Hey,
man. Read on.
Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of Yah with idols?
Read on.
For you are the temple of the living Elohim. Come on now. Now look at
him.
As Yah has said,
I will dwell in them.
Come on.
And walk in them.
Uh-huh.
I will be their Elohim.
Uh-oh.
And they shall be my people.
All right. Now, the Yahweh Elohim has got some instructions.
Well,
let's see what the instructions say. Not what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Not what my church says. Not what I think.
Yeah.
But what is written.
Yes, sir.
In the words. What is written in the letter of the Apostle Shaul to the assembly at Corinth. Read on.
Wherefore?
Do what?
Come out from among them.
Now, wait a minute. If that was 2,000 years ago, and we were considered even then to be in the last days, you know we're in the latter times right now. And if he was telling them and instructing them to come out, don't you think we should have been out?
Yes, sir.
Long time ago.
Yes,
but we are disobedient people. We don't like obeying what the book says.
Yes, sir.
So they want to make you think that you can cherry pick certain places of the scripture. And it's amazing how that with vigor we get out there and we teach people how not to keep the word, how not to be obedient to the word, while we out here hobnobbing and living with the heathen and rubbing elbows with them every single day.
Yes, sir.
And then we see the so-called church family once a week or maybe twice a week.
Right.
And we think that we're actually fulfilling the scriptures by dwelling together, being together in unity. Not so. Not so. So the Most High gives instruction because this is, wherefore, come out from what?
Among them.
Come out from among them. Let me separate from among them and do what?
And be you separate.
Now notice, the Paul didn't say this. The Apostle Shaul didn't say this. This is thus saith the Master. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be sons and daughters, saith Yahweh Almighty.
Yes.
Paul didn't say that. That was thus saith Yahweh Elohim. And when the Yahweh Elohim speaks,
come on,
when he says to one, he says to all. When he gives instruction for one Israelite, it's for all Israelites.
Yes, sir.
Now, before we go on any further right here, we want to pull up Pastor Muir here for a second. And we want to go ahead and get his beginning thoughts of the interview and whatever else the Most High Yah wants to share through him right now. Come on, Pastor. Y'all got to unmute him.
Hey, Shabbat Shalom to all the righteous of Israel. Bless y'all abundantly. Shepherd, you know, after going through that, I think it was 28 minutes of them guys talking today. It was actually painful to hear at times.
Yeah.
And it was comical, honestly. Because just over and over and over, you hear the same rhetoric. You hear the same, and the rhetoric that you're hearing is actually extremely confusing to anybody that does not know what they're truly hearing. They can hear these things, and then they'll turn around and think that they're hearing right. But when they begin to really try to do, if they try to do what is being said, they're going to be stuck in the same exact place and even worse off than they were before. Here's Shep just right now going off of 2 Corinthians. This furthermore shows that these men truly have no fear of Yah whatsoever at all. Because what we understand as Israel is, if we don't do what the Most High said to do, we're going to repeat the exact same path as our forefathers have done. How in the world I'm going to repent for the iniquities and the sins of my ancestors, but then turn around and do the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
You wonder why I can be in the same place. See? Okay, so go to Numbers. I want you to go to Numbers 33, Brother Samuel, Deacon Samuel, and I want you to read verses 55 and 56.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me if this don't sound like exactly what we just heard, okay? Now go ahead.
But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricked in your eyes and in your side, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell.
Okay, so we understand that we are not in our land, right? We understand that. So we can't drive out the inhabitants that live in all of these lands. But I tell you what we can do, and this is how we get We put the evil from among us. We separate ourselves. This is we different. But you see the facade and the thought that says we're not reaching people because they kept trying to push this notion of us hiding, which is absolutely crazy. Chef just read somebody from Nigeria. This literally, where you say what state is in?
New York.
In New York. Deacon, didn't you just talk to somebody in Chicago today, inquiring about the ministry? Shepherd sat on that show and told them from people all over the United States and all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But from hearing their response, you would think that this is something that we started 2 weeks ago. You see what I'm saying? This is 30 years plus of work that's being done. How in the world do you come up with 14 different communities? You see what I'm saying? But again, what it is these men ain't stupid. Jason Whitlock ain't dumb. Jason Whitlock knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
As Shepard alluded to earlier, he's a very, an extremely good journalist.
Mm-hmm.
But what they are doing is, without proper research of actually looking, because again, if we hide and how in the world Pastor got 6,000 plus videos showing his life. I told Shep the other day, I sat there and watched a video with him in the garden 7 years ago doing the same thing, playing the same one-string banjo, planting and working hard, building the goat house. Okay, now watch it. Go back to numbers. Finish, 35.
Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them.
You see that? That's the fear, yeah. You think that I want,
come on,
me, my family,
come on,
the saints that are around, everybody around here, to be partakers of what y'all are going to do to them? No. We're going to obey what this word says, and therefore come out from among them and be ye separate, says the master. And see, that's what one thing that Jason Whitlock called them on.
Mm-hmm.
All his response, he called them on that, like, wait a minute. You're saying that that was for a different time, because you see the mental, except for the mental gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
See, they, oh, that was for a different time. That was for a different time. How was it for a different time? We can see the foolishness that's coming.
Mm.
We can look at it clear as day. That's why we prepare all of the more. Chef and all the and elders and Brother TJ and all the brothers, if y'all would allow, or if we're not ready for that, please let me go. But I wanted to go to a timestamp of something that was said during the show, if that's the time for it or not.
Go ahead.
Okay.
So
okay, go ahead, Brother Deacon Samuel. Let's go ahead and hear what he said here. Yeah.
Are we going to play it?
And have, you know, we ain't gonna worry about the New Testament. That's what it sounds like. But I based on what the show did yesterday, I would determine that they are. He does quote a lot of the whole Bible. He did mention that he quoted yesterday a lot of New Testament, and he did. But you can also hear that they lean very heavily in Torah and lean very heavily in the Old Testament. Were there gentlemen in the Old Testament that had multiple wives? Yes. Almost just the majority of them, that multiple wives led into some things that took them from God. And then, you know, he just glossed over Solomon. I mean, Solomon had 1,000 women in his house between wives and concubines.
Okay, so before we get into the talk of polygamy, what he said there was that, yeah, Pastor, he admitted that the shepherd speaks from the whole Bible as he quoted.
Mm-hmm.
But we lean very heavy on what he said, the Old Testament. And see, that's one thing that you always got to deal with when you come across these men who call themselves pastors.
Mm-hmm.
It's because what they do is they try to create this huge difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant.
Right.
And as we know, if you're really looking at the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the only difference is it is the location. It's the exact same covenant. The exact same thing. You see? And what also gets me about the statement that he made is, go ahead, Chef.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. What also gets me about the statement that he made was, oh, well, they lean so heavy. But here's the thing. Everybody that you read in the New Testament, there was no New Testament written. They leaned on the same way we're leaning on the Old Testament, as they say, is the exact same thing that every one of these men did. And every single one of these men did. You see? Read Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. Let's hear a man that literally, as the Most High said, is a man after my own heart. Let's hear what he said. Go ahead.
The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul.
Didn't he say that we lean heavy on the Torah? Is what he said. You hear what David said, though. So whose word am I going to take? His, or I'm going to take David's word? Huh? Go ahead.
The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise.
So the testimony of Yah, it is sure. And it is making wise the simple. Keep going.
The statutes of Yahweh are right.
What are they?
Right.
Come on.
Rejoicing the heart.
Yeah.
The commandment of Yahweh is pure.
Come on, man.
Enlightening the eye.
Now, all of this, remember, all of these writers that wrote all these, well, mainly Paul, that wrote all of these letters in what they call the New Testament, what did he do? What did he lean on? He led on this exact same thing that he accused us of leaning on. I tell you what, if we're leaning on this, we doing good. Keep going.
The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever.
Come on.
The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether.
Oh, man. See, okay, let's do this because I want to hand this off because it's a lot of problems on here. But if you remember, during our interview, Jason Whitlock quoted Matthew. You remember? Okay, this is what he quoted. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 5 and read verses 14 and 15. This is exactly what he read from, because without understanding at the time, he thought we was doing the same thing. We was just going and living separate and saying forget the world. That's why he's asking us, do we got cable, do we got Netflix, and all of this stuff, right? But this is exactly what he read. Now go ahead and read it.
You are the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
He said, we the what?
Light of the world.
We are the light of the world. Go ahead.
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick.
Come on.
And it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
Come on.
Let your light so shine before men.
Let your what shine before men?
Your light
shine before men. Go ahead.
That they may see your good work.
Come on.
And honor your Father which is in heaven.
So, this is Messiah speaking. He said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your what?
Good work.
Good work. And what are they going to do?
And honor your Father, which is
they're going to honor the Father that is in heaven. This is Messiah speaking. Now, remember, Messiah, he told you over and over, I don't do nothing of myself.
Come on, man.
Over and over. But he said to let your light shine before men. So let's see who got the light in them. Go read Isaiah 8:20. Let's see who's got light in them. See? Or we're too Old Testament heavy. Boy, I told y'all we are victorious. Go ahead, read it.
To the laws of the testimony.
Come on.
If they speak not according to this word.
What?
It is because there is no light in them.
There it is right there. So he wants us to be the light of the world. But if you ain't coming from the law and from the testimony together, he said there ain't no light in you.
Yes, sir. Come on.
So here's my question. To everybody that heard the interview, and Jason Whitlock himself, who has the light and who don't?
Yep.
And the only way you're going to see that is to look at fruit. Is to look at fruit.
Mm-hmm.
That's bottom line. Chef, I'm passing it back to you.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's word, isn't it?
Ooh, yeah.
Man should not live by bread alone, but it works. Now, tell us how we are misappropriating and misapplying the scripture. The next thing we're going to be talking about is the term that Pastor Anthony used a lot, which was exegetical. Matter of fact, he said it's really exegesis, but he calls it exegetical. Now, you all know, how many years have I taught on hermeneutics and proper interpretation of Scripture? Whenever you hear the term exegetical or exegesis, what that is actually saying, if you want to know the difference between exegesis and exegesis, is when you are pulling the information, you're pulling it from the text, and you're basically saying exactly what the text says, and you're pulling the meaning out of the text when you say exeges. But when you are eisegees, like a lot of people do here in America, they are inserting ideas, and they are importing traditions and doctrines and other meanings into the text, and they preach it and teach it as if it should be believed. Like most people in America believe with ideas of what people have said to them all this time. I mean, the Bible says nothing about a Sunday rest in place of Sabbath. Read it for yourself. The Sabbath is defined, and Sunday has no commandment or no instruction on how to obey it at all. So how does the majority of the Christians still keep it? Why? Through eisegesis teachings. That's how they keep it. Now, there's been a lot of bending of the word to justify many personal beliefs, just like in the Bible. The Bible was used for a lot of people as justification of enslaving millions of Israelites in the slave trade. The scripture does not condone this kind of behavior in any way, shape, fashion, or form. Actually, what it does say in Exodus 21:16, he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. Somebody got a lot to pay for. Somebody got a lot to pay because this ain't going nowhere. And again, in Deuteronomy 24:7, it says, if a man be found stealing any of his brethren, of the children of Israel, and maketh merchandise of him or sell of him, then he that thief shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from among you. 1 Timothy 1:9 says, knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, and for manslayers, look what it says, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for present persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. This is what the book says. This is what the book says. And so there's a lot of misapplication that are going on. And one time when the pastor was actually quoting, trying to condemn us by saying that, you know, we have to use proper exegesis in this, he really meant that we should have used eisegesis, but he was actually supporting us because he was misspeaking. Because even he confused the examples of trying to explain hermeneutics by trying to sound intelligent. Now, so if you're going to be preaching and teaching in this, you need to be well informed of what's really truly going on. And I'll get to it a little bit later after I hear from Elder Kabir, Elder Rufus, and Brother TJ, but we're going to get into some of the logical fallacies that was made when what they said. Because a lot of people look at us and what they see, is they see they see Pastor Dow, they see that the ministry is full of veterans, it's full of NFL, ex-NFL football players, it's full of people from different walks of life, and they perceive in their thoughts, because of the arrogance and pride of their mind, that we are unintelligent and uninformed. But we're not unintelligent and informed. As a matter of fact, we know that book extremely well, enough to be able to live it. Now, Elder Rufus, let's go ahead and get with you here on this particular thing right here. And you give us your sentiments on what was said. And if you have anything else to add, by all means, let's hear it.
All right. I got a chance to watch it over and over again. I've probably seen it 3 times. And like we talked earlier today, Pastor, I'm very disappointed in the assumptions that were made and a lot of the assertions that they threw in there about this ministry. Very, very unprepared You can tell they did zero research, really, on this ministry. You know, to go in and assume that this ministry is some fly-by-night, like we're here because of the pain that we suffer from the Christian church. We've never experienced a good Christian church. We've never had these things, and if you could have just waited, we would have dealt with that for you. It's really, it's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing the way they got up there. I didn't like the fact either. Now, again, I do love everything that Jason Whitlock did, and I think he's the perfect guy to be the moderator for this debate.
I do too.
I didn't like some of the assumptions that he made. He ignored Elder Kabir, because he made the statement about the masculinity and how he can see how that will be attractive to you football players. We got four or five ex-NFL players. What about the other 5,000 people? They didn't play in the NFL. We got a lot of folks that ain't been in locker rooms. But Kabir was clear. He said, yeah, that masculinity stuff is cool. But what led me here was what kept me was the love of a father and the love of the brethren. That's what kept me. And see, when you can't explain this real, true, unadulterated, give all type of love, then you divert to things that hit other people's hearts and minds. That's where you get into the days of Jesus at. Because now you're importing things in that touches people's angers and touches people's disappointments, and that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. I sent you that one email today about the same thing being taken on. That brother that came from, remember the brother that's coming from IUIC?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I heard about Pastor Dow when I was 25. I started knowing this. 27, 28. I heard about Pastor Dow, but I went to the ICIU route. He said, but I was never fully connected. And he said, I knew that the only connection I really had was they was appealing to my anger. But I could not get to this holy place. But I know I needed to be with my Elohim. That's what people get here. That's what Elder Kabir was talking about. I'm listening to Jason Whitlock, and he's admitting freely that he's repenting every single show. Why? He knows he's lived that horrible lifestyle that the Bible talks about that needs to be repented of and never to go back to again. And he's comfortable living in his high rise, but look at the things that come about with that.
Mm-hmm.
The movie bars and all this stuff he's talking about. These guys come in and they have zero answers for this man, and this man is looking for something spiritual.
Come on, Elder.
He said in a one interview with Nathaniel, I know what a devil is. I look at him every day in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
I know where evil is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's begging, what are you going to do about that? That's where Mark comes in at. That's where these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they're going to do these great wonders. They're going to cast out devils. They're going to speak in new tongues. Our community. Where you at, Elder Kabir? Where you at up there, Pastor Daniel? Of course, where you at, Pastor Dow? These communities are full of people where the men of Yah at these communities have used these hands anointed by Yah to touch folks. I see babies running around here at Straightway Jordan because husbands come to me crying and say, we've been crying for 10 years, we can't have a child. And Yah say, lay hands on them. And you lay hands, and here it is, this year is a baby, and another year is another baby. I don't want to hear that. These testimonies that y'all were given about your son being delivered from Alzheimer's and all these types of things, they don't want to hear that. They want to exegesis away from that. They want to import something that's going to appeal to your emotion, appeal to your feelings. Then they try to import this fallacy that this Christian millionaire pastor, Tony Evans, has got it right. He has the way to do community, and we're wrong. Like, we just started community last week. Tony Evans ain't even got no real community. He's got a three-step plan of you assembling, assembling, address, and act. Go look at what the assembling and the addressing and the acting is, y'all. It's a bunch of this. No action being done for the people. Now, he's sitting in a mansion. Well, all the folks coming in to his 10,000-seat arena giving their money.
Mm.
And they're excited that he can go out here and talk to politicians.
Don't be in that book where we're supposed to get in bed politicians to make y'all's law go forward. Where's that going to bring the oppression off of his people?
Mm.
We just forget. We read the Corinthians, but we forget Revelation 18:4. We forget from my her. Define her for me then. Her needs to be defined. What is her? It's that strong delusion that Christian apologists are under. And I'm telling you right now, Pastor Dow and Pastor Mears will wipe the floor with y'all. Wipe the floor with y'all. This is going to be embarrassing. Now, the reason, I told you the pastor earlier, the reason I'm down with this, and I agree, because these Christian apologists, they need to be erased with these fallacies that they put out there. I'm not as excited about a debate with another Hebrew because the simple thing is I ain't trying to stop people that I know is preaching commandments, living holy, keep the law. Keep the law. I'm not just trying to do that. But these jokers right here, with all their assertions and all their assumptions, I'm looking forward to this debate. And I think my man Jason Whitlock is the perfect guy to do it. Because he stays neutral, he gives everybody a floor, he lets you talk, and then he just lets everybody decide on their own.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing we do. We don't evangelize. That's the biggest fallacy that I think I heard.
Hey, somehow Elder Rufus lost connection.
You go to straightwaytruth.com. Right?
Hey, Elder.
All you got to do is look at the picture.
Michael Israel, keep me muted.
Your mic is muted. Your mic is muted, Pastor.
Michael Israel.
All right. Pastor, I can't hear him. Your mic is muted.
Michael
Israel. Pastor, your mic is muted.
I know that. Right. He has to unmute it.
I don't know who he's talking to.
Michael Israel, unmute your mic.
El Pastor, unmute his mic. Your mic is muted. I can't hear you.
Israel. Michael Israel. Unmute my damn mic.
You go to straightwaytruth.com.
Michael Israel.
Listen. Mike Pastor saying something. His mic is muted. I can't hear it. Unmute their mic.
Hold on.
He's there. Yeah, everybody's mic is muted? Okay.
Yeah, everybody's mic muted. I can't hear Pastor.
Okay, stand by.
All right.
But, Elder, keep talking.
All right. What I was getting at was you go to straightwaytruth.com. You can clearly see that evangelism is taking place.
Hey, listen. Brother Israel, make sure you keep my mic unmuted. If I'm going to narrate and moderate this, I need my mic unmuted so I can be able to interject thoughts at any given time to keep the flow of this particular message going.
I thought you were saying.
Hey, Elder Rufus, you need to go back and say something because your mic went out, so you need to repeat what you were saying again.
The part I was at where it went out was we were talking about that we don't, the insertion that we don't evangelize. I think that's one of the biggest atrocities that they tried to bring forth. And I said, all you have to do is go to straightwaytruth.com. You can look at our family picture. That in itself shows you that there is a high level of evangelism going on when you have such a great mixed multitude with that many folks. You got a picture with 800,000-900,000 folks, and you see
Can y'all please bring up that picture of the assembly here from Tabernacle 2020? And you keep on talking, Elder Rufus.
How can you look at that and not think that there's some level of evangelism going on? That's not a black congregation. That's not a white congregation. That's not a Chinese congregation. That is a mixed multitude. But again, you got problems with the law. So that's why you got a problem when we're looking at something like this. I'm a little disappointed in these pastors, brother, whatever, because Jason Whitlock said he looked at these guys as mentors.
Mm-hmm.
But they're sloppy in their work. And they're lazy because they've done zero research. This picture alone would have made me say, whoa, I got to look at it a little bit more. And I'm coming in assuming that this is a fly-by-night church that just got started. And then the other fallacy, we're running? Well, y'all already actually dealt with that. You and Pastor Mir already dealt with that. Y'all actually already tore that apart. My biggest thing is this. These opportunities are here now. But you have to be ready in season, out of season. To me, I see a brother with a platform being used, but at the same time, he is looking for answers spiritually. And the reason he's gravitating towards Straightway is because Straightway is the only one that's given him any inkling of answers to his questions. We all about the spiritual. The hush-hush, talk-talk, all that is over with. Christianity, again, most folk grew up in it, most folk been in that great deception, but that's exactly what it is. And if you got an open mind, you will hear clearly how it is not the truth that you need to be following. And that's the thing I took away from. I got a lot of notes from all of it, but at the end of the day, these guys are very lazy in their research and they're very sloppy. And they're used to using smooth speech and $15 words to get people to play with their minds and their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to work with the Straightway Truth. I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to get towed up. And then the few folk that you have that believe in the things that you stand, you're about to kill their faith. You're about to kill their faith. It should always be about the book and not about what you think or how you feel. And that's what Pastor Dow was getting at. All of us gave up our feelings and our thoughts as soon as we came to this way.
Right.
I gave up my goals, my dreams, my aspirations. All I want to do is stir the Most High out until he busts through them clouds or until he... That's all I want to do. That's it. I got no other goals, no other desires.
Come on.
Yeah, that's all I got. That's all I got.
Hey, Bell, couldn't say it better myself. Can y'all take that picture down right now? Couldn't say it better myself. Now, another one of the alleged accusations is that the one reason why the NFL players and a lot of people are drawn to the ministry is because of they're looking to be masculine. Hold on. Time out for a second. I'm just going to talk about Pastor Dow for a second because I'm sitting next to a brother who played middle linebacker for Jackson State University. Now, if he was looking to be masculine, how about this? Let's rephrase that. All these men that have come to this ministry were already masculine before they got here.
Hallelujah.
How about that? And a lot of them have a resume. May not be as long as mine because, I mean, I'm prehistoric. I'm old. But these men, in order to get to the heights and the levels that they've been in their professions, especially in professional football, they had to go through a lot of training and a lot of, listen, you understand what these NFL players do? We're not talking about training camp. We're talking about game time, where they're banging almost every single rep, especially like Daniel Mir playing nose guard, defensive nose guard, where you getting hit and you hitting people. Every single play is a car crash. Every single play. And you see Robbie Kabir flying around like they getting ready. No, they destroying themselves and their bodies all for the love of the game. And they were the best at the game.
Yes.
That this world has ever seen in our day, in our time. And they talk about, we're looking for masculinity. You don't look for nothing. Earl Rupert's playing basketball all of his life and tight end and semi-pro. You don't look for something that you already are. Pastor Dow, I'm going to give you my little short resume so y'all can comprehend and understand the type of men that are drawn to the ministry since people are looking for masculinity. it's nonsense. It makes no sense to me. Listen, I boxed. Golden Gloves. I played football, basketball, track. I went into the Army where I became a U.S. Army paratrooper for 10 years with over 100 jumps from different various aircraft. I'm air assault qualified, meaning I rappelled from ropes from helicopters. I'm a weapons expert, and I'm a shot expert. I've trained soldiers. I've been in different parts of this world doing the Army thing, a war veteran. I raced motorcycles, cross rockets. I've done the U.S. Dragon 129. It's got 318 curves and 11 miles. I did it four times in my 40s. I'm in construction. I actually lay blocks. I'm a block mason. I'm a carpenter. I frame houses. I build custom cabinets, furniture for homes. I run heavy equipment, backhoe, trackhoe, skid steer, dozer, ditch witches, cranes. I hunt. I've killed wild turkeys and deer and fish to put food on the table. I preach and I teach and I live by example so that people can see what life is supposed to be about as an Israelite. I actually recently just drove a Formula One type car at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. And next, also in the ministry, our retired U.S. Army Ranger and our Navy SEAL veteran, we're going to go skydiving. So how can you seek to be what you already are?
Come on.
I guarantee you that every single man in this ministry has got more testosterone that's tripping off of them than what you will see in any ministry in this world today. And we are not going to repent. We're not going to shirk back or shriek back or go back and apologize for being men. It's not going to happen. It ain't going to happen. I don't care how matriarchal this society is going, and how everybody is catering to what the book says in Isaiah, the third chapter. Listen, as for my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err. Children shall be their oppressors, and women shall rule over you. Women ain't ruling over nothing over here. We are the heads that Yah has made and put us out up front. Our job is to provide that respect. Our job is to make sure that we're taking care of our home front and we're raising our seed. You can't be, you ain't trying to seek something masculine when you have already been masculine from your mother's womb. That's how these people get to the highest height. That's how these people become the men of the day. I'm telling you, man, I'm sorry. We're not this apologetic, soft-spoken type people. We're not. And then we all look at, they said one of the indictments and charges was, is that because of this hyper-masculinity, I'll probably put that in there, that we were probably more likely promiscuous and all this other stuff. Hey, bro, a lot of Christians were promiscuous. A lot of you have been promiscuous. We're no different than anybody in the world when we are unregenerated and not saved and redeemed. But I can tell you one thing. The next brother we're getting ready to bring up, Elder Kabir Bajabil Million, he had high levels of testosterone. You can tell that because of all the children that he had by one woman. All high levels of testosterone. But this man has a testimony, not just only from his mouth, but from the mouth of everybody that ever played with him, that he was faithful to that one woman. He didn't go rip and run the streets, go to strip clubs and do all this. So your allegations are unfounded. You know, Elder Kabir, let me calm down here for a second. And listen, there's nothing wrong with being passionate. It's just that when you've been misrepresented, you know, I guess it's that masculinity that come out with you, because I hate being lied upon.
Oh, yeah.
I hate the mental gymnastics. I hate how people, when they lips are smooth as butter, and they do anything they can to try to court the opinion of the court of public opinion and try to sway their minds. And there's Pastor Dow right there. That's me, young Pastor Dow, the U.S. Army paratroop. Notice I'm the only one in that picture that's wearing a beret. And if many of you don't know, if you're wearing a beret in the United States Army, that's actually mentioning that you're a part of the elite. Because there was only three berets in my day. There was the black beret, there was the Army Ranger beret, that since then has been changed to the tan. Then there was the green beret that's worn by the Special Forces. Then there's the maroon beret that is worn by the U.S. Army Airborne. And if you look on my shoulder, I got a lot of scare me badges on you and stuff like that. So we're not just playing games right here. We're serious about what we're doing. And because we've been converted by the Ruach HaKodesh, name been written down, I don't know what kind of spirit it is that pacifies a lot of you, but the only thing that it does, when I met Jesus, it just emboldened me. That's why I won't even bother, man. It just emboldened me to preach this gospel flat like Rob Mathis said. Can you tell me? Elder Kabir, you heard what's been discussed and said, and we'll go to a couple of timestamps after you get finished speaking. Elder Kabir, can you please address what we've already been over and what you heard in some of these interviews?
Well, if I can just tell back or tell Dub off what you said, one thing about us men, and I think you said, I got the quote from you, you said men does not follow titles, they follow strength. And us being in the type of sports that we play, playing football, we were around men trying to accomplish great things under high stress levels. I mean, on the field, off the field, even stressed at home with the wife, you know, dripping faucet, and still had to find a way to put all that aside and play ball. I mean, that was we had to find a way to get to the field and play ball. That's where you probably found the most peace there, because you had no bag and white point. But I would say this, it's interesting, because when he said looking for masculinity, and, you know, I always know I can control my answer, but when he said I was not looking for masculinity, just like Elder Rufus attested to, what I was looking for was someone following this book. I went, you have to understand, I was knee-deep in Christianity. I was in Christianity for 16 years. I wasn't just your mediocre Christian. I was the tither. I encouraged people to give. Whatever the church was promoting, I was about that. And one thing that I kept seeing in all the churches, and I only lasted in churches 2 or 3 years, something within that 3-year mark, you start getting used to what they're going to talk about. You see that it's going to a dead end. But I remember going from church to church. One time I did a home fellowship where I was watching somebody from San Diego, and then I went back to it. But, man, I want to be around the people again. Went back to church again. And then I finally said, either I'm done going from church to church. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make it, even though I'm going to make a difference in the church, I'm going to start inspiring men to be men in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
I started seeing the lack of women controlling the homes. And it was at that moment, I remember telling a brother, I said, man, you can't have your wife speaking to you like that. But then something hit me. I said, wait a minute. Mine looks good on the outside, but covertly, how much control do I have in my home? And so that's when I start going in and really understanding the role of a man and a woman. You had a daughter at the time. I mean, I still have a daughter, but I had a young daughter at the time, and I knew that she was coming up. For six boys came through. It was all boys.
Mm-hmm.
And now I get my first girl, and all of a sudden, like, whoa, I got to change my game, but I can't rear her up to be a boy. I got to rear up to be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I was trying to work on her, at first it was the boys, it was easy because I knew I was their focal point. I knew I was their example of what a man should look like. But when I got to my daughter, I looked and said, wait a minute. I can spend all this time trying to get her to be a woman, but look at her example.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized, I need to work on mommy before I work on her, because it doesn't matter what I do with mommy, because this is she's going to be looking to her mother.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sorry for digressing. But regarding this whole thing about being, what's the word, having an affair, running around,
yeah.
I was very faithful. When he said that, I had to laugh. Now, I understand. I get it. But anybody that played ball, Pastor Daniel played ball with me, he knows. I mean, I wasn't the guy that went to clubs or went around. I when I was in the locker room after sharing the gospel, irritating guys with the word, I would go back home to my family. If I wasn't at home, I was in the locker room. If I wasn't in the locker room, I was either doing some type of speaking engagement or doing some type of activity. But I was as faithful as you can get, you know, to my one wife at the time. And with all of that, at the end of the day, and I remember there was a saying that they said in Christianity, if you love your wife, she can't help but to submit to you. I'm going to tell you right now, that's bullshit. I'm telling you, I was very much, you can see me back in the days there, cold too. But back in the days, I literally loved her, waiting for the day. I tried to be an example how I served in church, how I tried to commit myself to the Most High God, to Jesus. And so she never came along. She never came along. She always made excuses. And it didn't help when you went to a church that encouraged that behavior, actually encouraged that type of behavior. And when I found Straightway, that's when you can tell, she said, this church, I don't want to have to. She didn't even, because most churches, she will go check out with me. This one, she didn't even want to come and check it out, because she knew that her Jezebel spirit will not jive with this ministry. It would have been found out. Every church I've been to,
My ex-wife was considered the spiritual one. She was the everybody worshiper and say, oh, what an amazing woman. She has all these children. Even though I really made her look good because the children were well-behaved because of what I was doing, because of the work I was putting in. I remember even going to a restaurant. And, you know, I had children from, I don't know, from, you know, sucking boobs to all the way to teenagers. And I remember, I mean, I'm not talking about once, Pastor. I'm not talking about twice. I mean, several times.
Lifestyle.
People would literally come and we'd be at a restaurant and people would be surprised and buy our whole, pay for our meal. And the reason why they say I had to do that because you guys do such an amazing job. I've never seen children so well behaved. And when they were talking to her, who do you think they were talking to? Me?
Oh, they were probably talking to her, giving her all the credit when the truth is you are the one that was actually reared and raised them and been instrumental in their character and their conduct.
And she sit there and soaked it in.
Oh, yeah.
She sat there and soaked it in. And you would think that would be a segue signal. The way you see my children, it has to do with my husband. That's the one. That's why they're the way they are. But she didn't get me. And I never called her out on that. I said, man, all right, wow, you took credit for something that I did, knowing that I'm the one that pushed being disciplined.
And never even pointed to the husband and say, babe, listen, it's like when I go out with my size. Y'all, you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
If anything goes on, you know, in this world, they say happy wife, happy life. My shots immediately go, that don't apply over here. I am what I am because of him.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's what my shots say. They correct it on the spot. They tell you, no, that's the king. He's my king.
Mm-hmm.
He's the head of this house, and I follow him. And the people, my eyes are already big as crap. They eyes get bigger than mine, about to pop out of their sockets when my eyes talk like that. Come on, Elder.
So I would say this, Pastor. At the end of the day, what I love about this ministry, I've been in this ministry, I'm going on 6 years, okay? It feels like maybe year one, year two. I mean, I've never been a part of a ministry. The longest thing I've ever part of an organization I've ever been a part of was the Green Bay Packers. And when you play football, it's interesting, and a lot of us guys can attest to this stuff. Playing in there is probably the closest thing you've got before straightway. Now, I'm saying before straightway, because straightway blows that out of the water. But before straightway, this was the best camaraderie, the best, you know, fellowship that you could have is in that locker room. Guys that you sweat with, guys that you fought with on the battlefield or the football field, the gridiron. I mean, that was the best you were going to ever get. And but then when you went back, you go, I used to say to myself, I wish churches, I wish our churches would operate more like a football team. They're structured, they're just, like, maybe masculine, I don't know, but I wanted, because everything I saw on the football field, it was things I was reading the Word. And it wasn't until I got to Straightway Truth Ministry, and for the first time, I got to see both. I was like, wow, everything you read is right here at this ministry called Straightway Truth Ministry. Here you see people who love the Most High Yah. I'm talking about genuinely, passionately love the Most High Yah. Secondly, they love each other. I felt it when I first got on, when I got there. I came there for Piece of Trumpet and the hug. And I mean, I'm here shaking people's hands. They say, hey, that's not how we do in Israel. They gave me the biggest hug, kiss, holy kiss. I didn't even know what a holy kiss was until I got the Straightway. I read about it. I didn't know what it looked like. But, man, I'm telling you, the love, the hugging of the necks, and I'm telling you, it's just so beautiful. So it was beautiful not just to hear the people preach the word, but to see it being lived out, seeing doers of the word. And so that's what I know that no other church can have. Just even hearing these guys, these two gentlemen speaking the other day, all they do is it's abstract. It's so abstract. I'm here listening to them and thinking, I think I was talking to Brother T. I said, was I confused? I was just trying to get my... How come it doesn't make sense what they're saying? They're saying a whole bunch of words. What's that word? Pontificate? I learned that from one of the brothers. They speak words, but it doesn't have any punch, no action to it. It's just abstract thinking. But at Straightway, we're concrete people. We do things. Our love is not just a word. Love is an action word.
Hey, Brother DJ, can you segue off of what Elder Kabir just got finished saying, and whatever the Most High Yah is leading you to say in your heart?
Yes, sir. So as far as the masculinity goes, you can find that anywhere out there in the world. There's a bunch of groups of men just doing masculine, uplifting weights, playing sports. So I'm not going to come to the straight where I go to the church and be like, oh, this is where I want to be. you know, become a man. Like, it doesn't happen that way. That's not what attracts us. Or maybe for some people, I can't speak for everybody, but that's not what happened here. So the masculinity thing, I think what they realize is that there is a lack of masculinity in the Christian church. I think that's what they came across. So now when they see us and they're like, oh, the men are in the front, they're like, hold up. Like I said, I've been to Christian churches. You go, your hands don't go any higher than this. If they even go up at all, you sit in the back, the women be in the front. Everything is reversed. So now when they come see it being done this way, they have to say, oh, it must be the masculine energy or the masculinity that attracted them to the ministry. And that's not the case. Christianity, in my personal opinion, my personal experience, I think that's where you can actually be. And I say this, you know, this is my personal opinion, you can actually be to lose yourself as a man and lose your manhood. Reason being, at my old church that I was at, Creative Church, Pastor Jonathan Brozadog, this is what this man has said multiple times. He has said, the Holy Spirit sounds a lot like your wife.
What? Wait.
Hold on.
Wait a damn minute. Who said that?
Jonathan Brozadog, my former pastor, the one who did not pick up my phone when I was calling him to help me figure out how to put the fire out. The same person. Just went on a vacation with him not that long ago in Bahamas, having a good time in the water, swimming. And this is the stuff that he's preaching. And so now he says this. And I kid you not, he said that. I remember him saying, he's like, wow.
Who paid for the vacation?
I paid for myself, but, I mean, we just let him down there.
I'm like, you booked something else. I can't believe it. I'm really over here. My mind's going to blow up. He invited us,
is what I'm saying. And so it was, you know, not everybody gets to go hang out with Pastor Johnson. Anyway. They got these little cliques in the Christian church, respect of persons, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so he says this. He said this multiple times. So now me as a man, I go home, and if my wife says something, I'm now second-guessing what I maybe know to be true or something I want to do. But if she says, well, maybe we should do this, or maybe this is it. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, man, maybe it's the Holy Spirit first. Now, this is what you get. So now you start operating like that. When we start thinking like that as men in the church, which I was around a whole bunch of men, you start hearing stuff like this. Hey, bro, let's get together this week because they don't live communally. They don't see each other only but once a week. Hey, let's get together and just, you know, have a meal, sit down and do something. Let's just go out. Let's do whatever the case is. They say, oh, I got to talk to the boss. Let me talk to the boss. That is a common phrase. Elder Kabir, Pastor Daniel, Elder, I don't know if y'all ever heard men say that. Let me talk to the boss. Well, that's why when Jason Willock and these other, they see that there's a difference. There's a strength here in Israel, and a big difference from Christianity, from what they're experiencing and what we're seeing, because it's things like this. Oh, let me talk to the boss. The wife sounds like, a lot like the Holy Spirit. So how can you be a man and, you know, representing Yah? You know, and how can you do those things? When it's like, oh, I just got to see what the boss says. I got to talk to my wife. I don't know if I can go out to eat with y'all because she might not be happy today. She might not. Like, what are you going to do with that?
Well,
you know, so that's what I would say. I think they just see masculinity and true strength in Israel over here than they do in their actual church fellowships. That's my opinion.
So, you know, this literally explains the reason why. When Elder Kabir was talking about, when he came up on that particular subject about man being created in the image of Yah, and I noticed that they didn't want to deal with that. We're going to deal with that. We're going to deal with that right now. Because when Jason Whitlock asked him where that found at, he just said, oh, in Genesis. Oh, we're going to show you exactly where it found at. And if I was sitting there in the studio, I could have showed you right then and there. Yes, still. I'm just in the luxury of my little home that I built, if you understand what I mean, with my own hand. By the way, let me show you what masculinity look like, too. Yeah, your hands look like sidewalks. That's what they look like. That's what masculinity looks like as well. They ain't too many. I ain't saying I ain't never had no paper cuts, but there's some paper cuts in there, too, somewhere, if you understand what I mean. But we're going to deal with this for a second, just for a minute. and then we're going to bring up Pastor Muir again. So, he said in Genesis, let's turn to Genesis. But before we go to Genesis, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 so we don't receive the accusation that we only just stay. Even though we know what Jeremiah 31 says, we know what Hebrews chapter 8 says, let's just go ahead and let's just go straight to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and let's restart at the first verse. Come on with it, teacher.
Be you followers of me.
Come on.
Even as I also am of Messiah.
Come on.
Now I praise you, brethren.
Yes.
That you remember me in all things.
Mm-hmm.
And keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you.
Read.
But I would have you to know.
That what?
That the head of every man.
Hold on. The who?
The head.
The head or the authority of every man is who?
Is Christ, Messiah.
The Messiah Christ, right?
Yeah, right.
All right, come on.
And the head of the woman
is who?
Is the man.
Read on.
And the head of Christ, Messiah is Yah.
We get that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody understand it, right?
Yeah.
Read on.
Every man praying or prophesying.
All right, all right. So skip to verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7, 8, 9. Read.
For a man indeed ought not to cover his head.
A man ought not to indeed do what?
Cover his head.
Read on.
For as much.
As much as what?
As he.
As what?
Is the image.
The what?
Image.
The what?
Image.
So a man should not cover his head because he is in the what?
Image.
The what?
Image.
The image of who?
And glory.
Of who? Tonight, because we're not going to apologize for what these scriptures say. Because I realize over the years that a lot of people that are contrary to these scriptures will hurt you. They will hurt you bad. Read on.
But the woman?
The woman?
Come on.
Is the glory?
Now, wait a minute.
Damn it.
Man is in the image of Yah.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
But the woman is the what?
Is the glory.
The glory of who?
Of the man.
Read.
For the man is not of the woman.
Wait a minute. Who came first?
Man.
Man did. That's why he said, for the man is not of the woman. Read.
But the woman of the man.
That makes sense.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Can you please tell them play that time stuff on what that pastor has said on that?
Do y'all have that time step about that pastor when he spoke about the image of Yah? Oh, boy. Y'all get that, bring that thing up because we're going to watch some tap dances. We're going to watch some Sammy Davis Jr. Go ahead. Play it.
Listen to that. My reaction was going to be, I wish I could have been here to follow that. Like,
me too.
What is he suggesting that women are made from? What image are they made from? I know he's probably following the lineage that, yes, Adam is made in God's image, and then God takes a rib from Adam and makes woman. But is he delineating Adam specifically that only men are made in God's image? Or is he suggesting mankind is made in God's image? If he thinks mankind is, then that includes women. But it seemed that he was arguing from the perspective that men specifically are made in the image of God, but then what would that mean for women? That would have been one I would have asked. Like,
what do you believe?
Men and women. Mankind is made in the image of God.
And, okay, y'all get that, right? So he says he believes mankind. That's what the book says. The book defines it. And then you know what? I'm going to show everybody something here tonight.
Oh,
I'm going to give revelation truth, okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to show you what the book says, all right?
Yes,
and again, that's why the book says study to show yourself approved unto Yah, workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Like it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, and then hold fast to that which is good. That's what we're going to do.
Yes, sir. Yes,
I want y'all to listen, Israel. So where did you leave off at, Teach?
Go to verse
8.
For the man is not of the woman.
Read.
But the woman of the man.
So who did the woman come from?
The man.
Because the man didn't come from the woman.
No, sir.
The man did not come from the woman. The man did not come from the woman. The man did not come from the woman, but the woman of man. Read.
Neither was the man created for the woman.
Man was not created for the
woman.
Man was not created for the
woman.
So I'm going to tell you who boss is right here.
Oh, yeah.
Right here.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you who boss is. Mm-hmm. All these brothers out here that put their sweat equity out on the gridiron. I'm going to tell you who boss is. Who boss is these brothers who out here who work their fingers to the bone to carve out a living for their women where they can actually be true women of y'all by being chaste keepers of life. Yeah, that's right. By being able to love their husbands, love their children, and guide the house. I'm going to tell you exactly who the man is. Read on.
But the woman...
The woman was created
for the man.
Now, it's getting ready to get ugly. Because the only thing that the good pastor could actually do was say Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to come there. We're going to go to Bereshit. Mm-hmm. Genesis. Start at chapter 1, verse 26. I want everybody to listen. I want everybody to listen real good.
Yes, sir.
Because something getting ready to jump off these pages.
See, come on.
How many times have I showed y'all just this year that we thought we read the book?
Oh, yeah.
We've been sitting there all this time. And I would, remember we was on the water spirit, the maritime spirit.
Yeah.
And I would read and you'll go, where's that been? And right there in front of your eyes. All right. What is it proving, though? It's proving that faith coming by
hearing.
And here he come by the word of Yah. And how can he hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? Behold how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the message and bring glad tidings of good things.
Yes,
but for all of that, they were not here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the book says.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, and I'm making no apology, but I'm just being facetious here. We are a word ministry.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And nothing is out of context. It's all straight down the middle.
Yes, sir.
Right down the plumb line.
Yes, sir.
Y'all ready for this, Israel?
Yes, sir.
Y'all ready for this?
Yes.
Bereshit, Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26. Come on, teacher, read.
And y'all said, God said.
What do you say?
Let us.
Let us, Elohim, plural, read on.
Make man in our image.
Come on.
After our likeness.
Read on.
And let them have dominion over the flesh.
Read on.
Over the fish.
Oh, come on.
Of the sea.
Because they kept on, remember, they kept on saying dominion, 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 dominion. All right, I'm going to show you what dominion is. Read.
And over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.
Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
We going to verse 27. Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
Y'all sure y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
Read.
So God created man.
Stop.
Yes, sir.
I want everybody, if you at your computer, your phone, you got Strong's, you got Brown's, Driver Briggs, Thayer's, are you following?
Yes,
I want you to just click on that word man and see what the word man means from the Hebrew. It's Hebrew number 120. So Yahweh created man, it says, and Yahweh created Adam in his own image.
Anybody want to drop the mic?
See, that's the reason why it's important for you to look behind the words that are presented to you in English, because Jeremiah warned us, and he said, surely the pen statesmanship of the scribe is in vain. They're not speaking out of the side of their neck when they're trying to warn us what's going on with all these people down there. The book says it so. Yah created man, Adam, in his own image, in the image of Elohim, created he him. And male and female, created he them. Pastor Mir, I ain't finished yet. I'm not finished yet, but you got to come on in. You come on in, Pastor, and interject that.
Chef, it ain't nothing to say. me and Brother Lee was sitting in the office today. Lee, what was in the office today?
Yes, sir.
What did we go over today?
That exact same
thing. We literally sat here today and looked at this. Say, well, Hebrew 1:20, what did it say? Adam. Man. And then it say, he created he what? Them. But the one he created in his image was Adam.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, Chef, that mic dropped. There's nothing else to say to that. No, I'm serious. So what else can you say to that? There is absolutely nothing to say to that. But you see, this is what happens. And see, this is clear cut. Elder will tell you, every time we come across somebody, the same statement is made. The same statement, which is, you're not going to hear our opinion. You're not going to hear what we feel.
No,
the only thing you're going to hear is thus says Yahweh. Most times we're going to make you read it. That you can hear it out your own mouth. That's what's going to happen majority of the time. And guess what? You see, that's the difference, because you sat on the show with two people who call themselves pastors. Well, one of them for sure was called pastor.
Yep.
And then when I went to his website, what we see? Women sitting up preaching.
Women.
Women sitting up preaching all over the place.
Hold on, Pastor. Hold on. You know,
yes, sir.
You know, segued into something, and we going back up. Well, we got that. Whoa, jeez. Listen. I try to tell people over and over again that we are people of the book.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
I try to tell them over and over again. But I need for you to read 1 Corinthians. Let me make sure I get it. 14.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 33 and 34. Free, Deacon.
For Elohim is not the author of confusion.
Hold on. For Yah is not the author of confusion. Elohim is not the author of what?
Confusion.
Read on.
But of peace, as in all assemblies of the saints.
Now, listen. Over here straightway, our women are in order. Because they don't defy this right here. Read.
Let your women keep silent.
Let them teach.
Keep silent.
Let them preach.
Silent.
Let them prophesy because they're prophets.
Keep silent.
Let your women do what?
Keep silent.
Read on.
For it is not permitted unto them to speak.
And I guarantee you, in both of these assemblies where this pastor, what's his name? Pastor Anthony. And Brother Dave, I guarantee you women got just as much equality in speaking as a man does.
Yep.
But not in the assemblies of Yah. Because Paul had already instructed in the first century to the assembly at Corinth. In the first chapter, the 14th, first book of the 14th chapter, read it again, verse 34.
Let your women keep silent in the assembly, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law.
Keep reading.
And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home.
See, if you're going to learn anything, if a preacher's up preaching and teaching, if you hear anything from the elders that is ministering, and you don't quite understand it, don't sit up and raise your hand. I got a question. The book says, if you want to learn anything, paraphrase it, don't take the priesthood from your husband.
Mm.
Oh. Let your husband instruct you at home. Let him teach you at home. You don't have no other head over you but your head. Your head.
That is our preacher.
This is what I'm saying.
Oh, man.
And
it's amazing.
This is under obedience, as saith the what, deacon?
As also said the law.
As also said Torah.
Ooh, ooh.
Come on.
As also said Torah, which y'all think is done away with. One more pastor, and then you got it. First Timothy chapter 2.
What is the verse?
First Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Come on, teach the same. Read, teach. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. And then, pastor, we got to hear what you got to say.
That's a woman. Learn in silence.
Learn how?
Silent.
Learn how to be quiet. With all what?
With all subjection.
With all what?
Subjection.
Now, wait a minute. Don't sit up and get mad at us because we're just ministering, preaching, and teaching what your New Testament, your word says. You're going to learn with all subordination. You're going to be subordinate.
Mm-hmm.
You are under. You're not equal to in any way, shape, or form.
Order.
And that's to let you know that with all you women, that you feminists out there that want to know your equality of man, there's no need to start bitching today when they're beating you in track and your beauty pageants and cooking and everything else. I don't hear a word that the world has to say. But in Israel, this is what we going to do.
Yes,
sir. Read on.
But I suffer not a woman to teach.
I suffer not a woman to do what?
To teach.
The word suffer mean I suffer not or I do not allow.
Come on.
A woman. To do what? To give instruction.
Yeah.
Is that making sense?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Read on.
Nor to usurp.
Nor to do what?
Usurp.
Nor to do what?
Usurp.
As soon as a woman get up and stand up behind in a podium or in front of an audience where there's a man there, she is already usurping authority. I won't hear nothing about I come up under the delegated authority. No, you come up under the satanic authority. There's no delegated authority where a woman is ever to usurp authority over a man.
Preach.
This book.
Look.
Read.
But to be in silence.
But to be what?
In
silence. In quiet, right?
Yeah.
Read on.
Yeah. For Adam was first formed.
Who was first formed?
Adam. Man.
Who was first formed?
Man.
Oh,
my God.
Did he all
created man?
Who was first formed?
Adam.
And let me add this in there real quick. Yahweh, our Elohim, is a man of war. And that translation means he's a male.
Ooh.
Preach. Man of war. That's Torah. Read on, teach.
For Adam was first formed, then he. And Adam was not deceived, but?
Oh.
But the woman.
Being in what?
Being deceived.
Was what?
Was in the transgression.
That's the problem with American society today. That is the problem with feminism today.
Yes.
Is because everybody want to cater to the woman who has never, ever, ever been charged to be put in a leadership position, never to been able to be in a place to be to use some authority over man, or ever to be authority over man. She was always designed to be subordinate to a man. As a matter of fact, Ephesians says that the wife ought to see that she reverences her husband. And she ought to submit herself and obey her husband the same way she would do Yahshua or Jesus Christ. Where have been teaching that today? That's the reason why the church or the assemblies are all dysfunctional and they're all out of order, because we have left off the way of Yah. But the woman being in transgression, notwithstanding, she shall be saved and bearing children. Now, you want to go seek a career. No, you're going to be saved if you have some children. Because they're going to humble you.
Yeah.
They're going to put you in your place.
Yeah, take away your
place. The place that you wanted to be with everybody else. If you want to be, wish we all could be California girls running through beaches and everything being run through and having more DNA inserted into you than somebody on a porn star. I don't want even want to hear.
Come on,
Pastor, come on, Pastor.
Hey, Pastor Dow.
Come on.
Pastor Dow.
Come on.
No, this is Elder Rufus. Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead, Elder. Yeah.
Real quick before you go, Pastor Mir, back to what I said about those dudes earlier, how they're lazy and their research is extremely sloppy. You could have done a word search on the word mankind. You're going to find out that it's in the book four times in four different forms.
Come on, Elder.
Two in the Hebrew, two in the Greek. When you look behind all of them, it says things like men, male, men. Then the last one, it says sodomite. Now, how do you get that mankind, from the two definitions in the Hebrew and the two definitions in the Greek,
right,
means women? I see nothing in any of the definitions that speaks about a woman at all. See, that's that assertion and that ace that Jesus is going on
is
important in people's minds, because the woman wants to be liberated. I want to be equal. So when this man get up here with his smooth speech telling me, yes, mankind means women too. No, it don't. You don't get that from any definition from old, new, Hebrew, Greek. Doesn't matter. These guys are sloppy. These guys are lazy. And y'all going to mop the floor with these. This is going to be what the new folks, the young folks, easy work. This is going to be easy work.
Yeah.
This is going to be easy work to do these dudes. Pastor Mir, go ahead. I just want to get that in there real quick.
Elder, this is amazing to me. Because all I can think about, too, when I'm hearing this and we're reading this over and over, when we're sitting here reading this, is it simple. Who did y'all get seen to? When you really think about this thing, who did y'all get seen to? He didn't get a seed to no woman. He gave a seed to the man. It's right there in our face. And the thing is because that's why they say this theology, or what they call theology, because remember what Jason said at the beginning of the show. He said he wanted a biblical response. Well, this is your biblical response.
Yeah.
He said nothing but in the book, the entire broadcast. Nothing but in the book, the entire broadcast. Not only that, you can clearly see that this is what is happening amongst them assemblies and churches that they're in. That the women are standing toe-to-toe with these men. They said it toe-to-toe with these men, but you see, what these women don't understand is you're unprotected, you're uncovered,
man, come on.
You're unguided when you step in that role.
Come on, man.
If Messiah is speaking, how dare any one of us as his bride think we're going to stand up and give some type of understanding that's better than what he's saying?
Yeah.
In the assembly, we shut our mouth.
Come on.
When Pastor Dow is up delivering the word of Yah, what are we doing?
Listening.
We're sitting there and we are hearkening to it.
Listening.
We are listening. We are listening with the intent to obey the word.
Come on, bro.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We're not sitting there just yapping off at the mouth.
Say it again.
But you see, that's what's going on these Christian churches. That is exactly what is happening. You see? And it's the exact same thing that should be happening in every single home. That's why he says, what? That's why you can see, as Jason alluded to, where does the men sit? We sit up in the front. So we can receive this word, so it can fall on good ground. And we can plant much fruit. And we can turn around and we can come home. And we can feed our family. We can teach our wives when they have
children.
I sat down yesterday teaching my wife.
Come on.
Straight from the book. You see what I'm saying? This stuff is so out of order.
Hey, that's it.
Did Jason Whitlock come right back and listen to this? Because Jason, this is your biblical response right here. This is it. We ain't done nothing but literally flip pages. You can go back. You can see us doing this. Flipping pages the entire night.
Come on,
Shepard. Well, I know Elder Kabir got something to say.
You know what's amazing is like when he said on there, I wonder what he was saying. Like, what is the woman made out of? I remember when I posed that to my ex-wife, she said, well, I'm made out of a monkey. I said, read the book. And that tells you, like, there's guys that sloppy work. Because if he would have just read the book, he would have just followed the book.
the woman comes out of the man. It's just that simple. But he didn't even go to work. Like, because in Christianity, they make stuff up. It's based off of their feelings, their emotions, their opinions. So that's why he was wondering where I would go. I bet you all of you guys knew exactly what I was saying and where I was going to go. It came from the way you see the glory of man. Period. And so you can just see that Christianity leaves a lot of room for eisegesis, and they don't really do exegesis. And this is Jason's spiritual team or whatever that he leans on. And so I hope he is watching this stuff because, Pastor, you're nearby. I hope he calls on you to get real biblical response.
You know, I want to say this. Brother Jason, I really truly think you ought to change your mentors.
Yeah.
Because these guys, kind of like Hananiah, false prophesying when Jeremiah was given a true prophecy, he said that he is speaking for Yah. These people are not for your good. They're not speaking for Yah. I can promise you they ain't speaking for Yah. They're not. I know that they're not. Well, I heard a wise man said, I will hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And they think, we're not going to avoid this subject either. Oh, it's coming right now. we're not going to avoid this subject because we laid it out that when this debate takes place, at least I hope it takes place, because we're not going to be the ones backing out of it. This debate is going to take care of three or four areas. One is biblical marriage. Number two, the image of Yah, and how should we live? And I think it was another pastor, Muir. Do you remember what it was?
It was the masculine. The masculine.
We're going to deal with that too. So I heard one of those men, I can't remember who it was, literally in my, what I understand, impugned the character of Yah and blasphemed. I heard one of them make the assertion, I think it was Dave, that said that polygyny, but he uses the term polygamy, was sin. I heard him say that.
That's exactly what he did.
He did. Where is the fear of Elohim today? To what? How is it that you believe that you can be so arrogant and have so much audacity that you can just speak and say anything that comes out of your lips, which really comes in your heart, and you don't think there's no accountability for it? Because you get enraged and incensed because you believe something is so dang false that with energy and vigor, you think you can actually impugn the character of Yah. I want one of them to show me one place in all of the Bible. You can even use extra sources. I want you to show me one place where Yah said in his law that a man having multiple wives is a sin. That's all I want. So you know they always run to Deuteronomy 17:17.
Man, come on.
We're going to tear this up. We're going to tear the fire that is right now. Teacher, Deuteronomy 17, let's start at verse 15 and let's read. Read on. Y'all ready? Hey, Israel, everybody ready for this?
Yes, sir.
The book says prove all things, hold fast that which is good, right?
Yes, sir.
This is their so-called hallmark proof text of everything. And this is all you got. You in trouble. Big time trouble. Read on.
Neither shall he multiply wives.
Deuteronomy 17, verse 15.
You shall in any wise set him king over you.
Read on.
Whom Yahweh your Elohim shall choose.
Read.
One from among your brethren shall you set king over you.
Read on.
You mayest not set a stranger over you, which is not your brother.
Verse 16.
But he shall not multiply horses to himself.
Y'all make a note of that. The king is not to make horses of himself. Read on.
Nor cause the people to return to Egypt.
Hold on. Not only does he not multiply horses, but cause the people to return to Egypt. In other words, you become so disobedient that God turns his judgment on you, and you end back up in the house of bondage again. Because what does the commandment say in Exodus? Come on. I'm Yahweh.
Come on.
He brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other mighty ones against my face. You don't make for yourself a carved image of any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, that is in earth beneath, or is in water under the earth. So we already understand that Egypt is the house of bondage. Is that right? So a king is to make sure that you do not multiply horses. We're going to follow their logic. And you make sure that the Israelites does not return to Egypt again to the end that he should what teach?
To the end. That he should multiply horses.
Read on. And mind you, he should use horses twice there. Come on.
Forasmuch as Yah has said unto you.
What did he say?
You shall henceforth return no more that way.
Read on. Now here's the key. Here's the kicker. Read on.
Neither shall he multiply wives to himself.
He should not do what?
Multiply wives.
So the word multiply in the Hebrew is rabah. That's Hebrews 72:35. That means to become great or to become many or to become much or to become numerous. Multiply. So let's see if these Christian apologists are really doing their homework or if they're practicing known deception. Because apologists are supposed to be very informed people, but you're going to understand that a lot of people who went to these schools, they may be informed, but they get paid by keeping you deceived. Read.
That his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold.
So let's stop for a second. So a king, if we follow their logic, because they always use this proof text, that's what they say, that he shouldn't have more than one wife.
Right.
So are we to believe that a king is only supposed to have one piece of gold?
Come on.
One piece of silver? Or even one horse? That doesn't sound like a king to me. That's using their own logic.
Yeah.
Now watch this, we won't go any further. So let's look at the very same word and how it was used in other places in the scripture.
Mm.
The same word.
Come on.
Hebrews 72:35. Let's go to Genesis 7, verse 17. Y'all hear? We're not going. We're going. We're sticking right in the talk. Right in the talk. Read.
The blood was 40 days upon the earth.
For the flood was how long on the earth?
40 days.
Notice what it's using. The flood.
Yes, sir.
You know how great that flood
is.
Read on.
And the waters increased.
The waters increased. So the word increase is the same word for multiply. Y'all hearing this?
Yes, sir.
The word increase is the same word for multiply. Hebrews 72:35. Read on.
And bear up the ark.
Come on.
And it was lifted upon above, above the earth.
Read on.
And the waters prevailed.
And
were increased greatly.
The same word, 72:35. Read on.
Greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the water.
Verse 18. Read Genesis chapter 8, verse 17. Skipping on over to another chapter. Genesis chapter 8, verse 17. Same word being used. We're developing something here. Read on.
Bring forth with you every living thing that is with you, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.
Come on.
That they may breed abundantly.
They may breed how?
Abundantly.
Abundantly. You'll see the context getting ready to come up here, right? Read on.
In the earth.
In the earth.
And be fruitful.
Be what?
Fruitful.
Be what?
Fruitful.
Be what?
Fruitful.
What's that word?
Fruitful.
Read.
And multiply.
Hebrews 72:35. Rabbah, or what?
Upon the earth.
So the word is not talking about two, three, four, or five. The word is actually talking about millions. thousands, tens of thousands. Because if you're commanded to be fruitful and multiply, you can't do that by two, three, and four, or five. And then they want to try to use Solomon. I didn't gloss over Solomon. I said, we all know about Solomon.
Right.
And if you didn't know about Solomon, let me explain. Solomon transgressed the commandment of the Most High Yah. Transgression was in marrying many foreign wives who had these strange customs like Christmas and Easter and sun god worship. And developing idols on the temples of Aphrodite and all this old other stuff. That's where Solomon had his wicked heart turned because these women were pressing him in his old age. He made light of the worship of Elohim. When he says, you should not have no other mighty ones. When he says, I'm a jealous heir. I've been to the crookedness of my fathers until the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. I'm showing love and commitment and love and mercy unto the thousands who love me and guard my commandments. Solomon made a mistake by marrying many foreign wives who turned his heart from the Most High. We're not making that mistake. Pastor, you got something,
Chef, can y'all play this time step we got? Listen to this mess here.
Come on.
Play this time step at 126.
126.
And just to back up what Pastor Walker said, when you look at the body of Christ, it is one body made up of many people, but one body. That is the bride of Christ. Christ has one bride, not multiple, and we're to model that. And if you are an elder, Paul talks about the New Testament. If anything else, let's say that you have polygamy everywhere else. There's just one place. There's no polygamy whatsoever as an elder. If you could argue from anywhere else in the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 2, as what Paul says, let them be without reproach, husbands of one wife. So it's, you know, you're really having to manipulate and to eisegete the text and without reading it properly in the context to get there to polygamy.
All right, so first of all, let me answer there. First of all, he got the wrong chapter. First Timothy chapter 2 is he's misquoting what the word and misrepresenting what the word says. It's actually 1 Timothy chapter 3. And Pastor, you want to go ahead and handle it, you want me to do it?
Chef, we know exactly what's getting ready to come up. Because if you look behind the word, it's the word me, as you have preached many times.
Come on.
And it means first.
It means what?
First.
Come on.
You see? And for an example, I know a guy I went to high school with. He got the title of elder and bishop, right? Ordained in his church. That man ain't got a wife at home, nor children. But this man is up, talking about he's preaching. How can you leave the flock of Yah in any way, shape, fashion, or form, and you go home, and you ain't got nothing to leave? That is what this is saying. You see? But not only that, this is what gets me. Listen to this. You see, these men, you got to be, a lot of times what they do is they speak stall, you see? But you really got to listen to what they're saying. This man just stood here and said, so if you could find polygamy anywhere else, this one place says not, that it's not for an elder. If you could argue from any other place in the Bible, say you could have polygamy everywhere else, this one place is what he says. Now, understand, we know that this is Paul, right? Go to Exodus 21:10.
And you know what, Pastor, while he's getting there? The New Testament is not a place where you start law.
Come on, Chef. Come on.
The problem is these people are not properly interpreting Scripture.
That's exactly it.
Shaul or any of the apostles would not say anything contrary to the law, just like Messiah would.
That's it.
Come on. Go ahead, Pastor.
The thing that gives me is if we go to Exodus 21:10, but read the first verse. Okay, so look at what's being said here. Go ahead, read the first verse.
Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them.
Okay, so who's speaking? Y'all speaking, and he's speaking the most thing. Okay, these are the judgments that you're going to speak before them. We are now, anything we hear after this, we know we are hearing what people always say, the word of God. This is coming out of his mouth. Anything that's said after that statement. Okay, now read verse 10. If he takes him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage, shall he not diminish. You see that? So you mean to tell me that he is given a law that they say we lean too much on? Right? He is given a law. And then he turns around and he gives you the judgment if you break this law.
Come on.
You see?
Come on. Ambassador.
Then he turns around and tells you in verse 10 that if the man takes another wife, you see, but this is the foolishness because the other pastor sat up there and made the statement that men in the Bible who, this is in quote, men in the Bible
person
who have taken more than one, he said multiple wives, they have all had their heart turned from God. That's what he said. Now here's the thing. We can think of one, Solomon. But guess what? So, did Abraham turn his heart from Yah?
No.
Okay. What about Moses? He turned his heart from Yah? What about Jacob? Who was on his deathbed blessing his son? Did he turn his heart from Yah?
Come on.
What about David? A man after Yah's own heart. Did he turn his heart from Yah?
Come on, man.
So what are you talking about? What are you talking about? But you see, this is the stuff that they say. This is the stuff that comes out of their mouth. This is the foolishness. Last thing, 2 Samuel chapter 12. I just want you to read verse 7 through 9. And then read verse 24. Okay? Go ahead.
And Nathan said to David, you are the man.
Okay, so we know what happened in this story, right? If you read before, you can get it in context. They kept saying context, context, context. Right? We know he was talking about a rich man. Then he was talking about a poor man that only has one. Right? Then somebody came, took the one he had, and gave it to the rich man. And he said, wait a minute, what's going to happen to that man? He said that he should pay him four times, right? That's what David said. And then he turned around and said, what? Read it again, Brother Samuel.
And Nathan said to David, you are the man.
Go ahead.
Thus says Yahweh Elohim of Israel.
Okay, stop. So we know that this prophet said, thus says Yahweh Elohim of Israel. So again, we know anything that comes out of his mouth after that statement comes straight from the one who is sitting on the throne, who earth, who heaven is his throne, and the earth is his footstool. We know at any given moment, anything after that is him. Okay? Go ahead.
Thus says Yahweh Elohim of Israel. I anointed thee king over Israel.
Come on.
And I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's
wife
into thy
bosom. Oh, did Nathan the prophet give him any of this? Or is Yahweh saying, I gave you this,
Yahweh?
Okay, keep reading.
And gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah.
Come on.
And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given us...
So here it is, the king himself. This is why they're backing themselves into a hole. Because at the end of the day, the only thing you can do is either humble yourself, or the only thing that you can do is to say that Jesus ain't preach the same thing that Yah did. But they'll sit in your face and tell you that Jesus is Yah. So that's the only thing that can come out of your mouth at that point. Now watch this. Read verse 24.
And David comforted Bathsheba his wife.
Uh-huh. This was after the death of the son, right? Of the child. Go ahead.
And went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon.
And what?
And Yahweh loved him.
Wow. So David had 18 women. Yahweh loved him after he went back into the woman that he committed adultery with. Why? Because her cover was now gone. And Yahweh loved him because of it too. He told him that if the sword wasn't going to leave his house.
What are you doing with
you? But then he turned around and literally went right back into that woman. Why? Because the sin was adultery. He lay with another man's wife. And here it is, the Most High telling him, I would have gave you more rather than you commit this. He said, you despise the commandment of Yah. What does the commandment say? Thou shalt not commit adultery. But they don't understand what adultery is. Man, come on, man. These folks, I'm telling you, they see win-loss. I hope that you watch this, and if you watch it, tell him we just want to sit down and talk.
I pray that he's watching it, and I'm going to segue, then we're going to go back for a moment. Teacher, y'all ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Israel, y'all ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Mostly. Y'all notice we mostly are letting the word do the speaking.
Yes, sir.
Second Chronicles, chapter 24. Verses 2 and 3. You got to take it slow. You can't read it. This is not a Helen Keller novel. This is the word.
Listen.
The report. Read, teach.
And Joash.
And who?
Joash.
And Joash, what did he do?
Did that which was right in the sight of Yah.
No, wait a minute. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of who?
Yah.
And Joash did that which was right in the sight of who?
Yah.
Read.
All the days.
Some of the days.
All.
A few days.
All.
Just a week.
All.
Only 1 month.
All.
Just a period of time.
All.
1 season.
All.
And Joash did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh. All the what?
Days.
Of what?
Of Jehoiada, the priest.
He did right in all the days of Jehoiada, the priest. Joash did. Verse 3.
And Jehoiada,
the priest,
took for him two.
The priest picked out two.
Why?
To what?
Why?
To what?
Why?
To what?
Why?
And then he did what?
And he begat. He.
Joash. Begat what?
Sons.
And what?
And daughters.
Zero inclination. But there was something wrong with him.
Right.
Like what had been asserted.
Right.
He said there were many. We only found one person in the whole of Scripture that went off from the commandment of Yah. And that was Solomon. But he asserts that there were many others. Damn it, who was it?
Where?
Tell us who they were. Just don't assert it. Let us all know who they were.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you're not dealing with now. You're dealing with students.
Come on.
That's why people get upset with us. Because we get so, first of all, number one, our question, have y'all ever been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
That's your belief.
No, really. Have you really, truly got the power of Yah in you? Because if you did, the same passion that we are experiencing, the same livelihood that's in us, it would be in you.
Yeah, sure.
I want to know. I want to know what your doctrine is. I want to know what your teaching is. We're going to segue and go back. Because we was on this meal thing, right? Where the bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Let's see, like we did before, where is that same Greek number 3391, Mia, is being used in other passages of the scripture or the book of Acts and the letters to Paul to the Corinth. Same Greek word being used. And let's see what the translation of the word really is. Because in English, it says one. That's why Elder Rupert says they sloppy. Because they don't research. They don't do any searching. They don't check things out. They don't look behind the words that's presented in English. They're lazy. They don't do it. We do it.
Yes.
We do it because our souls is on the line.
Yes.
Just like Jason Whitlock is in fear of his soul, we are in more fear of our soul. Because to much is given, much is required. And we've got to be able to articulate this and then be able to put it before Israel. So if you go to Acts chapter 20, verse 7, read. Acts 20, verse 7. And I want y'all to look up the word first and see what it says. See if it says the same Greek word that was translated in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Read. And upon the what?
The first.
Stop. What does the word first say that it says in Greek? Will somebody please, any one of y'all, could y'all please tell us? Can y'all unmute lines then? Elder Kabir or TJ, let somebody let Deacon Samuel, Elder Rob, or somebody say, what in Acts 20, verse 7, what does the word first say?
It says one or first.
One or first. One or first. What's that word again?
Neither.
And what is that word over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, when it says one?
Neither.
So upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together, breaking bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart tomorrow and continue in his speech until midnight. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. And let's see what the word mere really means.
They're not going to.
Because they say it in a translation, one. But what does one really mean? Just because something is presented to you in English, you better start using some self-autonomy. You better start using some independent thinking and really truly start looking behind these words. Because the last time I checked, the Messiah, when he was impaled, they had Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. You better know what the words mean. You better know what the words mean. And stop playing these silly, foolish little games where people ain't quoting no scriptures but giving you what they feel.
Yes, sir.
What am I supposed to tell you if I got diarrhea, how I feel? When I'm talking about the truth? Now, I'm being real now.
Yes,
since we all up in our feelings. Feelings ain't got a damn thing to do with nothing.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He also said in John 15, verse 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In 1 John, he clearly said, he that say that he knoweth me, love me, and keepeth not my commandments, you are a liar, and the truth is not in him. When we get to the end of the book of Revelation, blessed are they that keep his commandments, that they may have right to the gate in the tree of the city.
Yes, sir.
And anybody else that's trying to come in for without a nothing but dogs, sorcerers, and whoremongers, and whosoever loveth and never will lie.
Come on.
Come on. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Read on. Upon the first. Stop. Deacon Samuel, can you please tell us, Deacon Samuel, what does that verse say? Is it the same word, Mia, that is used in 1 Timothy 3 and 2?
Yes, sir.
So in 1 Timothy 3, verse 2 said, the bishop must be blameless, the husband of the first wife. You're getting that right? Everybody getting it right?
Yes,
he must at least have one. He must at least have one.
Yes.
You got people out here preaching and teaching, like Pastor said, and ain't got no family to lead to understand the dynamic of preaching and teaching. Because when you have a family, there's a whole total different dynamic.
Yes, sir.
You can't sit up there and rule with impunity.
No.
You got to use wisdom.
Yeah.
Hey, Shepherd. Come on, Pastor.
Ain't a bishop an overseer?
Yes.
This is somebody that leads, right? Okay, so
that sound like King David, don't it?
Yeah. What was King David? What was Moses?
Gideon.
My father's house. There are how many mansions?
Many
mansions. Many?
Many.
So what are you going? Many mansions, right?
Wow.
That's what the word says. Messiah used the example of how many verses?
Ten.
10 virgins. And they need to stop this mess. Seriously, they need to stop this mess.
Come on.
And we can't give them anything. It's a bombshell. I know Shep gonna drop. With Whitlock got the same thing. We're gonna do those screens with Shep.
I love it, bang.
What?
But you know what? You know what? I want everybody to listen to me real close on this one.
Yes, sir.
Saul had to go to Ananias. And he had to get his hands laid up on him before the scales fell from his eyes. We can sit up and present all this truth. They will still stick with what they know.
True.
Because unless Yahshua opens up your understanding that you might understand the scripture, you are still blind.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. I don't care how much truth they put out, they will still be blinded to it.
We can say what we want, and they will still be blinded. And you know what? They come time for a debate, they will still get crucified.
Yes, sir. Very true.
So unless y'all open their understanding that they can understand the scripture, we can say whatever we want because, you know what, there's a veil that's still
ooh,
over their eyes.
Yes.
Our hope is that the veil will be lifted.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Pastor.
Come on. Come on, Elder.
Hey, Pastor, you know, it really lets you know the time that we're in. We are really in the latter times. If you look over at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it says here, if I may read, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, right, some shall depart from the faith,
come on,
giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil.
Teach.
What are you talking about? Speaking lies. This is Christianity. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. We live in America, right? I have seen monogamy is acceptable, homosexual is acceptable, pedophilia is acceptable, bestiality is acceptable. When you get to polygyny, which is a biblical form of marriage, that is literally forbidden. Are we not in the last day forbidden? It's the same for me. Right, and God, and we said, and which Yah had created to be received with what? Thanksgiving. And them which believe and know, that you see, we know the truth. We believe, and we accept polygyny as something to be thankful for. So this, I really believe this is a seducing spirit that we're dealing with, especially in Christianity. But, I mean, they won't speak bad about homosexuality. They don't listen, but you won't hear that in the Christianity church.
Hey.
You won't hear that. They won't say anything to that.
Elder, I promise you, you know your pastor. I'm not going to set up here, and I'm not going to pull no Michael Parsons. Well, the United States of America under the Joe Biden and Kamala Daniels, Willie Brown, Harris administration, they let Brittany, was it Griner, loose,
and the wife spoke on her behalf. I said, wife of who? Is she a woman? Is she? How do you determine who's the wife, who's the husband?
I got to go something different though. But you're right. You let a woman that's not even known in all of America, a lesbian. Something that is 100% totally against scripture.
Abomination.
An abomination before the sight of Yah.
Yes.
And we have a Marine that's been sitting over there in captivity for 4 years. A Marine that has seen action in war action, fighting for this American juggernaut. And they give in trade, Putin, the most notorious arms dealer in the history of mankind, that's a bad deal. That's like you giving me $100 and I give you $1 million. You gonna give up this lesbian and make window dressing at the outhouse of how giddy everybody up and leave the Marine that's fighting for this country in captivity. And then Michael Parsons said, now, wait a minute. First thing he said, he was on point. And he said, what? Hell no. And you left the Marine over there? Hell no. And then his handlers got a hold up, got in touch with him. He made an apology, like all of them do. Let me tell you something, damn it. Pastor Dowell ain't making no damn apology to none of these damn people.
Come on.
When I said on Jason Whitlock's show, flat out, that hell no, I am against everything that y'all be. I'm against homosexuality. I'm against lesbian. I'm against transgender. I'm against homophobia. I'm against all of that mess.
Solid.
Against the book.
Come on.
All of it.
Yes, sir.
You know the reason why
I can get by with saying it because I ain't making no money.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them, Israel, I want y'all to listen to me on this. Please don't miss this.
Come on.
I'm showing y'all right now. All these people think that they are devout Christians, devout Israelites. As soon as something comes up where it's going to put their livelihood in jeopardy, they'll all capitulate. Say it again, teach.
Get your hands out of my pocket.
Get your damn hand out of my pocket. They will all capitulate. They will all bow down and acquiesce. Every single one of them proving to you that these are not the people of the book. Because all that live godly in Messiah will suffer persecution. They will get a, where is it? Let's go to Matthew 19 real quick. Let me get that. Sick boy, here we go again. Matthew 19. I hope that everybody's still listening because ain't nothing better going on tonight than us. Ain't nothing better going on tonight than us. And we're going to start at verse 28. Matthew 19, verse 28. And let's hear, since everybody claimed to be about Jesus, let's hear what Jesus had to say. Reteach.
And Jesus.
And Jesus.
Said unto them.
What did he say?
Verily.
The word verily means truly. Read on.
I say unto you.
What do you say?
It's you. Which have followed me.
You which have followed me what?
In the regeneration.
In the what?
Regeneration.
Read on.
When the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his power.
He said, you which have followed me in a regeneration.
Yes, sir.
In other words, he's not only just talking to the apostles then. Everybody who come after him, you which have followed me, follow me as I follow Messiah. You which have followed me in this regeneration. Read.
When the Son of Man.
When the who?
Son of Man.
Read on.
Shall sit in the throne of his glory.
Of his glory. Come on.
You also.
You. You're talking about those 12 apostles. Right then. Read on.
You also shall sit upon 12 thrones.
Y'all hear that?
Because
we know that there are what? 12 gates to the city. There are 4 and 24 elders. Is that right? You got the 12 apostles and you got the 12 Israelites, patriarchs that come from Jacob. Come on.
Judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
That ain't us. That's them.
Yes.
Read on.
And every one.
He dealt with them. And then he said, and every one. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And every one. Read.
That has forsaken.
That has forsaken. While y'all Christianity ain't got to forsake a damn thing. Everyone that has forsaken. This is what Jesus said. Oh, we love. Falling in love with Jesus. Well, we're going to find out how much you in love with him, man.
Yeah.
Everyone that has forsaken what?
Yes.
Houses? Or brothers?
Come on.
Or sisters.
Or
father.
Or what?
Or mother.
Oh, come on.
Or wife.
Oh, that's in the first century. He's not talking to us now.
Yeah.
No. This is the creator of the universe.
Yeah, change not.
I am Yahweh, your Elohim. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not. Jesus Christ.
Come on.
The same yesterday, today, and forever. Read on.
In other words,
when he says something, I will not alter or change anything that is gone out of my lips. Read on.
Or children. Or lands. Or my eye may say.
Now, wait a minute. That's a lot of forsaken.
Yes, sir.
So you brothers, to where your so-called wives, and I say it like that, because if they were really truly wives, they would never leave you. They will never forsake you. If they were really truly wise, if they really truly love you, they will never forsake you. You know how I know that? We're brides.
Come on, son.
We're wives of the Messiah. I'm not forsaking him for no damn body.
Hell,
ain't nobody. Nobody before him, preferable before him. Ain't nobody coming after him. I am totally 100% dedicated to him, plus
not seen. There will be no spiritual adultery over here.
Hallelujah.
There will be no spiritual whoredoms over here at all. There will be no other mighty one over here.
Oh, that's it.
It ain't happening.
Come on,
Chef.
Read.
Will my namesake shall receive an hundredfold.
Whoa. Receive a what?
Hundredfold.
Shall receive a what?
Hundredfold.
Read.
And shall inherit in everlasting life.
Go to Mark 10:29. El Rod brought this out when he was down there. In case it needed to come up, he had it already pulled up. Yeah, Robert did.
Hey, this is a good one. This is a good one.
Mark 10:29, read it, teach.
And Jesus the Messiah answered and said.
He's answered and said again. Somebody else, come on.
Verily, I say unto you, there is no man.
That what?
That has left house.
Come on.
Or brother.
Or brother. Come on.
Or father or mother.
Read on.
Or wife or children.
Come on.
And for my sake.
And the message. Come on.
And the good news.
Read on.
He shall receive 100-fold.
Whoa. When are you going to receive 100-fold?
Now.
When are you going to receive 100-fold?
Now.
When are you going to receive 100-fold?
Now.
When is he going to receive a 100-fold?
Now.
And in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, read, teach.
Mothers.
Come on.
Children.
Come on.
Land.
With what?
With. Persecution.
With false accusations.
Mm.
With liars. With evil beasts and slow bellies. Lying and deceiving the masses of people. Pointing their fingers at you. Painting you out to be a villain and stuff. Calling you a cult. A crackpot. A kook. The whole nine yards. With persecutions. Read on.
And in the world to come.
What?
Eternal life.
Oh, we good.
Yeah,
we good.
Yeah, we should.
No matter what they say, we good. Because we have literally forsaken.
Hallelujah.
All of it.
Praise Yahweh.
And let me get this right. So, let's say you're doing this message and your wife forsaking you like Elder Robert, Elder Kabir, Brother TJ, Teacher Shane, my brother right here. You good.
Hallelujah.
But let's just say, like what Pastor Muir, Elder Rufus, Pastor Dow, your wife decided, you know what, I need to repent and stay. You good.
Hey, hallelujah.
You good. You good.
That's all right.
Like Pastor Muir said, which it about made me, it gets me every time.
Mm-hmm.
Gets me now. He says, my wife loves me. I was like, shh.
Yeah.
Woo, boy. Yeah. He tell the truth about Chris, too.
Mm-hmm.
Man, she does love that man.
Crazy.
And I honor her for it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Not saying that we want anything to happen to our pastor. But a woman like that, if something was to ever happen to her, I promise you, this ministry, we got her financially until her time is over with.
Hallelujah.
We got her. We got her. We'll make sure that they're financially taken care of.
Hallelujah.
She won't have, or her children, his children will have no need of nothing. Kind of like King David said. To that man, he said, you know what? I'm going to do good to you, the cripple.
Yeah.
I'm going to do good to you. Not because anybody done anything, but he just said in his heart, I am going to do good to you. There you go. Simply because he had a covenant with his father, Jonathan. And he was descendant of Jonathan. And Jonathan was gone. And David said, you know what? I'm going to honor my brother.
Hallelujah.
That I love. I am going to do good to him. You got something else to come here?
Hey, Pastor, I want you to finish your...
No. Come on, man. I'm up here in tears. I need my water boots on.
Hey, I just wanted just to narrow in on this Mark chapter 10. I've studied, obviously, because of things I've been through.
But Mark 10:30, it says that he, singular, he, right? He shall receive a hundredfold right now in this time.
Yep.
Houses, plural. Brethren, sisters, plural. And mothers. I'm just curious, Pastor. What does Ezekiah call Mother Carol?
Mother.
How about Mama Nelly?
Mama. He called both of them Mama.
So he has three mothers.
Yes.
You see that? And so Jesus here is literally for polygyny. Because he said one man will receive houses, brothers, sisters, mothers. See, they don't want to put wives in there, but really, automatically, these women become mothers when you have one son with one, any of your women. I bet you the same thing with Elder Rufus, if I'm not mistaken. They're all called mothers. I know in the Unified culture, the same thing is called mama. That's what my dad said. What you call your other dad's wife? He says mama. Really, mama. So anyway, I just thought to let you know, Jesus himself is promoting polygyny right here.
It's amazing, Elder, because I was in the office and I heard his cow saying, mama. And Carol said, yeah, babe, what you need? And mama was in another room. You get it? All of them are mama. But don't get me wrong. He knows who mother is.
Yeah.
But they're all his mama.
That's just crazy.
Can somebody tell me what's wrong with that? And you know what? I resent the fact that the indictment is on high testosterone man. Hold on, damn it. Anytime that we ask a woman if she would like to join our house, she can say yes or no. When is this society, the same way they want to blame man for everything, when is this society going to say, woman, you said yes?
Come on, Pat.
When? You don't have to say yes. You full well know what you're getting into. Why is the indictment always on the man? I'm going to tell you what's going on. Because these women see a good man. They don't see a jackleg and a bootlicker. They don't see a damn a piece of crap that won't do what the scripture says what a man should do, which to provide for food, clothing, and conjugal rights. They don't. They look well beyond that, and they see the character of this man and say, you know what? That's a good house.
Mm-hmm.
And with all that has been presented before me, this is good. And they make the agreement. They come in. And y'all acting like that we twisted somebody. Listen, do you twist your jump off?
Mm.
Do you twist your side chick or your mistress?
Mm.
You have to coerce them in lies. Everything we do is all in the open. Ain't nothing here. Everybody know about each other. There's no deception whatsoever about nobody's being deceived.
Yes. No scandal.
Man.
No, I got from this, man.
Yeah. Elder Rufus, come on with it, Elder.
Oh, I got to get out on this. Because, see, I really hate and resent, because I brought that up earlier. And I understood where Brother Jason Whitlock was coming from. But it's still an insult to think that men are coming just because in their past life, they were whoremongers, and this polygyny feeds them in that. That would be attractive to them because they had been with multiple women. Now they want to come over here and they get the opportunity to still do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened to, like our Elder Kabir said, what about the love? What about the desire to change and not be this individual we was before? What about holiness and righteousness being the motivator? See, when you get filled with this Ruach, I'm telling you, everything changes. And you start to hate that spot on that garment. You start to hate it. Everything sin, like you were saying, Pastor, I agree. I hate everything y'all hate. If he said he hated, I hate it. And just because you are falling short, just because you lack understanding, even you got to get in all you do. The life you live in isn't reality for Yah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not his truth.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you can't see yourself managing 3, 4, 5 women. Just because you can't see women coming together and living in love and harmony. Just because you can't get your wife to submit and obey you. These are true curse words to you Christians. Tell your wife to obey you. Like the book says, she ready to go. She calling the local authority, exercising her rights, because she submitted to you know who, that he her papa, and he well all the power over you when you sign them contracts. But then you come and you look at somebody that's living holy, somebody that's living righteous, this ministry. And we have these relationships. We have these marriages. I brag on mine all the time. Because I want to know the one that's gonna bring it down. Who? Who that bold? Who want to test y'all like that?
Mm.
I got four, and we ain't never had arguments in the house. We don't never disagree. Well, when the word is facts, when the word is pushed and promoted and the environment is created so that we will all get along in love, what you think you're going to get? We have no reason to fight. We have no reason. Oh, they're just robots. Come talk to them.
Yeah,
you just robots.
You don't want that smoke. They don't want that smoke.
Yeah. You're going to be get the embarrassment of your life. Because what you're going to realize is, wow, this is happy. This is joy. They are at peace. But then when you revert back to the life, to the mindset that you have as a wicked one, like Pastor said, you are okay that your sister's a jump off, that she a sneaky link, that she the hoe of hoes.
Mm.
Keep it real. They'll squander all of her childbearing years being a hoe in all these bars, sleeping with all these men. Got so much DNA in her, bro. She is the epitome of schizophrenia. You don't know when Bobby from 97 and Ricky from 82 and Gerald from 2004 gonna come out of her. You cool with that. But when you see a man's house in order, his family's in order, you want to come against it. Elder Kabir, I'm on you all tonight because I'm loving everything you're giving, brother. All of us giving. But, boy, the hammering of what the text is saying there, this thing is in order. But you can't receive that. You can't receive it. And then you wonder why we want to live out in the come out of her and get away from you nutcase.
Yeah.
We carry guns.
Oh, you better believe it.
You use the ammunition all the time.
Army.
We carry, we ain't trying to do that. We just want to live quiet and peaceful and train up our children in the way they should go.
Seriously.
I watched, and I'll sit down here real quick. I watched Jason Whitlock today. He had a little segment in there with this sister, Shamika, or something like that, where she was giving name back and forth. But he played this thing, and it was this sodomite that runs a private school in Chicago. He's ragging with his nails painted. He's sitting there being recorded. He's bragging on how he brings in transvestites drag queens who teach the high school students.
No.
He is literally in the interview bragging about it. And the guy said, "Hey, don't you worry about the parents? What they gonna say? Mind you, this is a high-end private school in Chicago. The parents are paying $40,000 a year for the children to go there. So you paying 40 grand for your children's mind to be... I ain't even said the math up, y'all. He's bragging openly about how the children are asking, what is a butt plug? What's a dildo? How do you use this? And he's bragging on how they're showing this to the children at this private school in Chicago, and the parents are paying $40,000 a year to teach their children that. So you got a problem that we hear, see, the scripture said you was going to do this. The text said you
trouble coming, but you actually want to come against the people you see showing you how to prepare.
Right.
Our lives are open books. Pastor, I remember Pastor, I had 300 videos. That's when I came in, and I watched every video. There wasn't one video I missed. He got over 6,000 now. All of us got YouTube channels. But we don't evangelize. You people are foolish, and you don't know who you're playing with. And here's the thing. Reason why a lot of y'all don't want to come before us, because you're going to feel that power of God.
No,
I guarantee you, that's the woman you tell. When that anointing come out, your tail's going to get humbled.
Hey, come on, man. Come on. Man, come on.
And if you stay in that state of being haughty and being prideful, you're going to get destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And going to get brought low in front of everybody. This is why you want to do everything over computers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, we're concrete and we're real. Concrete and we're real. But I get, and we ain't hiding nothing. I put my family out there for the whole world to see. Oh, you a pimp. Nah, bro, pimps sell they women.
My ass, yeah.
They sell they women. Get your terminology right. I'm a man.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because you can't afford and you can't handle and you can't deal with.
Yeah.
You,
come on.
Hey. Minister to them. Don't put me in your category.
Yeah.
I can minister to mine. I know how to lead mine spiritually. I know how to keep order. I'm doing it to show you how to do it. And that's tech we read. I've been in that. I'm already way past 100-fold already. Everything. The house, the land, the job, the children. I'm way past 100-fold already. And still multiplying. People better start respecting and honoring these men of Yah. And I'm telling a lot of y'all, the grace of Yah on some of you, but some of you say some of the most crazy, outlandish things. You have no control. You're so loose. You have, Pastor, what did you say? No fear of Yah.
None.
Just will say anything. Lying on the man of Yah. Lying on the king himself.
Yes.
He got one wife, but I got a home with many men. But one wife? One wife gonna run around many, many men, and he did, he doubled down. And what am I telling you?
Dude.
Then come on. Y'all people better get serious about this thing. We serious. You can't tell that. We serious about this. This is your life now.
Wow.
You ain't telling it. This ain't no Christian church. This ain't no plaything. Everything's been put on the line. So when you come here, because all y'all been blowing up, Pastor Dow, Elder Becker, my email, all the other elders' email. Who wants to be referenced? No, you don't. You don't want this. You ain't ready to sacrifice. You're not ready to give all. You're not ready to turn your back on anything that's against the love of God. You ain't ready to show it. Now, the ones that is, come on in. Y'all add to the assembly day. I'm tired of this mess about listening to that. You do it. We living it, but you got all that pain about it. You ain't never lived it a day in your life. You ain't never been number six in the puck. But you got opinions on spiritual things. That stuff's going to come to a stop. It's going to come to a stop.
For real, and don't tell us nothing about no Tony Evans. What the hell are you doing? What are you doing?
Come on.
Because Tony Evans, he don't even meet compared to what we looked up. He's far from the Book of Acts. What y'all trying to sell, that's what he's doing. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. No, it is not.
That's not the example.
Like
right there. That is not the example.
Can you imagine?
That ain't doing nothing.
Can
but doing a lot of this.
Can you imagine we sitting up in the middle of Nashville with 101 acres, and we're going to put up a farm in the middle of Nashville with cattle? Come on now. We're going to plow our fields, put up greenhouses, butcher our damn cattle. Goats, sheep, raise them, and chickens and stuff. Man, they won't eat, man. They will kick us out and then fine us and levy every damn charges that there could be.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Is that you, TJ?
Yeah, that was me, Pastor. I just want to say something that Pastor Daniel had said a couple weeks ago when he was talking about
he who preached the message should live from the message. And so yesterday, it was a brother that wasn't the pastor. He said, I've been where you guys are.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm so glad you brought that up. Say on.
He said, I've been where you guys are.
No, you ain't.
I'm sitting here thinking.
No, you ain't.
I'm like, okay, I know I can say I've been where they are because I know the mindset of Christianity. I used to think in the same mindset. When I first came into the ministry, topics like polygyny, it used to kind of make me, irk a little bit because I didn't have full understanding of it, and I'm coming from that Christian mindset. So when he's saying, I've been where you guys are, I was thinking, I'm like, okay, where have you been that we are? Because everybody on this broadcast, most of the things that you talk to, everybody has sacrificed something. Everybody has lost. Either mother, father, children, houses, lands, for his name's sake. So I couldn't understand where he was coming from when he said he's been where we were, as if now we came to the dark side or something,
right,
and he's on the side of the light. Now we come back and we can go see Tony Evans' church. We can go back to whatever the height that they have, saying that we somehow missed. Okay, maybe I missed it. Elder Kabir, he probably didn't miss it. He's been to the height of heights. He has some big time preachers in the world. He has their contact information. When he was going through his thing, they were giving him zero answers. So my thing is, so I'm trying to figure out, okay, what did we miss? What is it that we missed? Because this is the first place I can say personally I've come where I have a question and a direct answer is given. There's no confusion. Literally, me and Elder were talking last night. I was like, I kind of felt dumb after they were talking. I didn't know what they were talking. Like, I didn't get it. But you can come in straightway. I'll tell you guys, I'm going to end it because I'm not trying to be long-winded. There was one Shabbat. I was sitting, it was Brother Patrick, his son Legend, and me. Now, this is how simple it is. The children can understand the message that's being preached at Straightway. I looked over at Legend. He sat next to me. He had his little notepad out. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, I said, this boy ain't taking no notes. I look over.
Oh, yeah, he's
notes. Literally taking notes. Makes sense.
He's taking notes.
I'm like, okay. He can clearly understand what the man of God is saying. You go into these Christian churches, that's why they got children's church. That's why they got all these things. They got all these
holy
churches. I'm going to just leave it at that. Our children came here. I'm like, man, all these children, they can sit down. They well-behaved from a baby up to, whatever the oldest children. They can sit there and hear a message and actually understand. And you can talk to them about it, and they can actually, they make sense. They understand what was said. But these guys, when they were talking, they're using all these big words. I'm not saying that those are big words, but it was just they leave you in a state where you kind of put your own insertion, and you just kind of confused by the time they're done. And I'm like, this is Christianity 101. This is what they do. This is how it is. And so it was just interesting when he said that he's been where we were. I want to hear his story personally to see where did you go that you're saying you've been where we've gone, where we were, or where we've gone.
You don't go back.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you could, but
all that man was talking about was that because they were asserting and trying to assume that we are doing what we're doing, we're novice in it, and we're doing what we're doing because we've been hurt by the Christian church. That's what they would say.
That's bullshit.
I've been there. Bro, be quiet. You know what the hell you're talking about. That dude don't know what the hell he's talking about. You ain't been there. You ain't walked in these shoes. You ain't sacrificed nothing for y'all.
I know nothing. Nothing. About
but he's saying because y'all been hurt by the Christian church.
We ain't been hurt.
That's what he said. I ain't been hurt by them. They ain't hurt me. I saw fools they was and I left their ass. That's what I did. They hurt me. They hurt me at all. Did any of y'all ever hear me testify how the church hurt me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they hurt me. Thank you for showing me how foolish y'all is. Come out.
Elder, I could have kept them from hurting me just by acquiescing and capitulating to them and forsaking my soul. But I chose to be persecuted because I chose Yah.
Yeah.
I chose Yah over man.
Now, you think about that.
And mind you, before this broadcast got started, my son, he is 26 months old. Can y'all say 26 months?
26 months.
You know what he was doing? Little his guy was sitting up and he seen all the chairs was moved in for the brothers. He turned and took and bought his chair in and put it next to the refrigerator, and he sat there in front of that refrigerator. Am I lying? He sat there and wasn't going to move. He was with the brother at 26 months old.
Come on.
He won't have nothing to do with the women out there, none of them searching up. No, I'm in here with the brother.
Yeah.
And he was sitting content.
Yeah. Just, come on.
And y'all seen me in the beginning of the broadcast hold him up, because I could tell he's getting sleepy, getting tired. And then when I say, you going to go with mama? No, no. Mama came through the door. He took off. Because it's his bedtime. At 26 months old, he wants to be with the brother from what he sees in this ministry.
Look at here, look at
here. Man, I don't want to hear that stuff.
I can't wait till Jason comes and visit you, Pastor.
You know it's a game changer.
Right now, you know, people may be looking, they think we're just all talk. But when they see our sisters in action, I mean, his head would you thought he looked like this? He would be like freaking, I mean, he may be taking out a stretcher.
Right? I mean, you know what it reminds me of, Kabir?
Yeah.
What Brother Jason is on right now reminds me of your walk.
Yes.
Remember when Elder Rufus, me and Elder Rufus been accused of every damn thing under the sun. When Pastor Corey came in, it was me and Elder Rufus. When you came in, me and Elder Rufus. I mean, we have literally been, in this generation, we've literally been almost the damn two witnesses. Literally. Am I right, Elder?
Yeah, they're about to soundbite you on that too, Pastor. You know.
No, I know. But I'm not saying we are the two witnesses.
Definitely ain't. Yeah.
I'm saying that's the way they treat us.
Absolutely.
Because we have literally, they talk about, we've been in the United States of America, we've been as far as Portland, Oregon. We've been to California, Fresno. We have been to Houston, Dallas. We have been to Minnesota. We have been to Jacksonville, Florida, Atlanta, Georgia, Jacksonville, South Carolina.
Kansas City, New York, Florida,
New Jersey,
Carolina.
All these places, what they call evangelism, and that's not including
Michigan,
having a community in Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
In Australia, and one in Finland. That's not including the brothers that is in England with Brother Mike and them. That has an assembly of straightway over there in England.
In Africa.
And that's not including Brother Steve and bless his soul and Sister Wenda in Canada. One in Alaska. I mean, and y'all want to try to put an indictment on us if we are evangelizing? You got to try it now. This is comical. All but comical. And mind you, this is all before our precious brothers from the NFL came in.
How did we get here? You must have been doing something. How did we find you?
I know one thing. I know these are brothers of truth. You know the reason why? I know that they use self-autonomy. I know that they can sincerely discern good from evil. Right from wrong. I know that they can actually pick up that book, read it for themselves, and then use the mind that Yah gave them and then discern what is truth and what's not. And what they don't like, this is what pisses me off more than anything. I'm going to let y'all players, we're going to end on this. Y'all got to tell all of us why we're doing this shit. Michael Parsons, number 11, you know he's a linebacker. He's probably on the same damn track as Lawrence Taylor was. He's doing really damn good for Dallas. He's doing really damn good.
He turned around and he made the statement when his Brittany Griner, she got released. We traded a woman WNBA 6'8 basketball player who nobody knows for the most wanted arms dealer in the world. And Russia is fighting a war with Ukraine right now. You don't think they need him? And the Biden administration, as impotent as they are, they gave up this arms dealer for a basketball player. And we have a Marine that swore oaths to this country that's been in captivity for 4 damn years and let the basketball player go. A woman basketball player. And her wife slash, I don't know what the hell you want to call it. And they all making a big-ass press conference. They all smiling. Oh, she's coming in. What about the damn Marine that is trained and fought to give us the rights and the liberties that we got today? Oh, we don't hear shit about that. Now, we always play second, third, fifth. I promise you. Goldstein, y'all familiar with it? You got a frog man? Don't want to be known? I don't want to be known. I don't give a shit. You know what the hell I've been done, or a ranger who's done planted a lot of damn bodies in the ground. It don't mean, listen, we're talking about Israel. And we let a notorious arms dealer go for a basketball, a woman basketball player, and left the Marine. The same way we did in Afghanistan, we left those 200-something soldiers abandoned, and they still in exile from this damn Democratic administration. Man, I'm done. I'm finished.
You were kinder than I was, Pat. I called her a confused pothead. We gave up the most wanted man in the world for a confused pothead. Are you serious? That's what she is. She's a confused pothead. Absolutely ridiculous.
And then y'all wonder if there's any masculinity in straightway. Oh, no, we all born with it. We're bred with it. All of us are certifiable, what y'all call them. We straight up dogs.
Hey,
that's every single one of us. That's what y'all using our vernacular. But the Most High, y'all, in his grace and mercy, chose us from the foundation of the world.
Hey!
Before we were even formed in our mother's womb.
Yes, sir.
He already knew.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In the latter times that we will be
together.
Come on, bro. And y'all bring stuff together, because you know what? When you look at Revelation 12, that there was a place prepared for the woman to go into the wilderness. It's got to fit somebody.
Hallelujah. Praise.
Y'all still want to set up in these damn cities when your cities are seeds and they are burnt, like Isaiah said. You want to set up in these damn cesspools of hell. These damn temples of Aphrodite. These damn houses of irrepute. And question us, because we want to go and hunt deer and turkey. Be able to provide and feed our home.
Right.
No, man. That the insanity is crazy. It's off damn change. Michael Israel, you the last one, man. We're going to give you, man. You got the word. You got the last word on this broadcast here tonight. I didn't even know. Man, we're approaching 3 hours.
We over three.
Jesus. I didn't know it was going to be this long. Mike Israel, finish it off, man. We all done. If y'all done it, elders, y'all good? We good. Mike Israel, you get the last word, man.
I think it was an awesome broadcast. I think a lot of truth came out, and I think you know, and if anytime situation like this comes up, well, I think this is the early stages of something big. You know what I'm saying? That's why, you know, with, you know, I know when this thing initially kicked off with Kyrie Irving and this whole thing started out with Kyrie mentioning Ron's book and everything like that, at the end of the day, all the roads of this thing in right here at Straightway, because we're the ones doing it. So eventually, the light's going to be over here, because we are, you know, we're the light out there. But that's pretty much what I got. I feel like y'all covered everything on this, and I think it was an awesome show.
All right. So with that said, Israel, every single one of you, we'll see you on tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time on Pastor Dow YouTube channel, blogtalkradio.com/straightwing, live and direct, each and every last one of you. We out. All the straight. We bless you all, the sweet person and strong and victorious and mighty. Overcoming name, our soon coming king, Yahshua the HaMashiach. Shabbat Shalom, the king is coming. All praise to the Lord.
Y'all in the morning.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you.